Oh, we are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It's Thursday night, and I'm so happy to be back home. I'm freshly back from Springfield, and actually joining me in studio is State Senator Dan Katowski, who served for 9 years in our Senate, in our General Assembly, and I got to watch the inauguration of the 100th General Assembly. It was weird.
It was weird. It could be weird, but it also pretty. We were just talking off air. Mm-hmm. How it can, you know. Usually for me, it was a time of great hope and honor. And,
I didn't feel that yesterday.
I know. Usually, but that's why I'm not there.
It's because you're not.
If I were there, would you have, you know.
But. Well, it's interesting that you say that because I texted you on Tuesday when they were giving going away speeches. They were all paying their respects to Senator John Sullivan, who is stepping down. He's decided to retire and apparently beloved. Seriously, 3 hours of speeches saying goodbye to John Sullivan. I love the guy. I'm sure he's great. They needed to have a sign-up list. You max out maybe 5 Republicans, 5 Democrats, and then the rest of everybody else. We can rent out a dining. They can rent out a dining hall. You know, buy the guy some flowers and chocolates. It was very sweet. It was very obviously he's beloved. But your name did come up in at least three speeches. I left because I was like, well, this is not.
After if they brought my name,
I was like, if they're gonna be talking about Katowski the whole time for some other guy's speech. Senator McGuire mentioned you rising for a bill. Senator Biss mentioned you something about ordering food.
Is that right?
Your name came up several. You can check the record. I know it's on.
I believe you. I have great faith in
your reporting
capacity to tell the truth.
To observe and listen.
Yeah, I think John. You know, he's a wonderful man, and I sent him a text.
Clearly,
and I know he's a really decent guy.
3 hours.
But mine was like 6.5.
3 hours for Sullivan.
I'm just kidding. So mine wasn't saying you missed that.
Yeah, six hours. How long did they say goodbye to you?
It was like the Thornbirds when I was there.
What are you thinking when you're sitting there and they're all saying goodbye to you? What's going through your mind?
I was sad. I was touched.
Yeah.
And I was.
But at some point, aren't you even going?
Well, then some people get up. You're like, for the most people, for the most part, people get up and they say nice things. You're like, oh, I really like this person. Then somebody else gets up and you're like, wait a second, you didn't even talk to me. I mean, what?
Yeah, they're just talking for the sake of hearing their own voices.
But for the most part, you're latching on to that last thing that I said. But for the most part, people say things and it's genuine. It's
right.
One of those moments. There are moments where you go down in Springfield where it's completely authentic, mm-hmm. and genuine and heartfelt. Mm-hmm. And it makes you think, like, why isn't it typically like this on a regular basis?
Well,
right?
Why is it on a day when we still have work to get done in the General Assembly? When there's so much to be done, 3 hours on that.
It's a good point.
You
can make an even better argument for times when there's an argument over a resolution that is completely unbinding, uh-huh. right? They'll have a non-binding resolution discussing something about maybe we're going to.
The state pie.
Yeah, the state pie or the state.
Seriously,
fruit.
Esmeralda, this is what they do. She's shaking her. She doesn't even have words.
Can we just, there should be regular people there, like sitting.
Oh, they can sit
like
in the galley.
In between.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting in between.
Say, all right, enough.
Yes.
Right, yeah. Right,
just be like, really?
A timekeeper and just say, enough. Okay.
I'll do it.
Yeah. We're talking about this again? Like, just something like
you
that.
You know what?
Well,
I saved the, I was given a disc and it was, there
speeches.
Were people that, I was there for 9 years and you got a chance to develop some really amazing relationships with
sure.
people. So, but I can also see from the outside. Side perspective, like, why are you spending all this? Why couldn't you have done this at at a Benigan's? You know what I mean?
And I'm saying at Saputo's.
Yeah.
Go to Saputo's. Go to your Luxembourg Inn. Rent that room in the back and have some fried lobster.
I love it when you sound like a city girl.
I know.
You
right?
Go to the Luxembourg Inn.
Why don't you go down to go down to the Driftwood?
I went to the John Sullivan tribute. It was amazing. Went for 3 hours.
But really, I mean, you guys, there were so many parties last night. Like, one of those parties couldn't have just been a John Sullivan party after the inauguration.
They probably had one for him.
I know.
Yeah.
Esmeralda, do you know what the most celebrated party is down in Springfield on Inauguration Day when they swear in all the legislators?
What's that?
The Latino caucus.
I wonder why.
I'm saying.
Probably the
had
best.
The best party. There's a Black Caucus.
The fun party.
What's the Yo party? What was the, there's the Yo at the Abraham Lincoln. There were all kinds of parties and
the
balls.
The Yo party? There's a lot of them. It's a little overwhelming.
There were 12.
The first time when I was sworn in, I went to like a few, went out with my family, went out to dinner, and then we went to the Abraham Lincoln Museum, right?
Oh, that's
and my,
sweet.
Everybody went for a tour of the, but there was like an event being held there, but I was there, and everybody, my family and friends, they all went for a tour of the museum, and I was there stuck talking to lobbyists. I was like, I want to go for a tour, right? But I was also having having fun, but.
There were some drunk legislators last night, and not for nothing, somebody actually accidentally grabbed me. But it was a woman, and she stopped and she goes, "I'm so sorry, I just grabbed your breast." And I was like, "Okay, let's carry on." You know what? We're gonna carry on.
Sounds like an honest politician.
It was a very honest politician. She's a good woman, and it was. So I was gonna let it go. I wasn't even gonna say anything. She went to gesture at something and just happened to rest her hand there, and then she pulled back.
As long as she let it go,
she did. It seemed a little long. It was weird. It was an interesting moment. I've never had that happen.
You've never had that happen?
I mean, like, it was weird. It was with a legislator. It was just weird.
Well, it's not expected.
Well, anyway, off the air, I'll tell you more comments.
Right.
When we come back, we're going to talk about age discrimination in the workplace. We have a writer who's going to join us, and we're looking forward to hearing more about that. Because, you know, my husband left the workforce a long time ago, and I worry if he'll ever be able to reenter. But this is even younger than you think it is, age discrimination in the workplace. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And joining us on the line is a writer who has a very important topic that is near and dear to my heart. My husband lost his job in 2008, and he's become a stay-at-home dad. And sometimes I worry, like, what if he decides to re-enter the workforce, what's that going to be like? And from what I'm reading in John McDermott's piece in Mel Magazine, I don't think it's going to be very good. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me, Patty.
Absolutely. This age discrimination in the workplace, I have to believe it's pretty prevalent. And as you mentioned in your piece, is hard to prove. Tell us a little bit about what's going on out there in the workforce.
So I discovered this guy on Reddit who wrote kind of a post that saying he himself was a victim of age discrimination at 35 years old.
Wow.
My immediate reaction. Yeah. I mean, that was my immediate reaction as well. Is that's an incredibly young age to claim something like that. So I got his story, and I talked to a couple of labor experts, and what I discovered is that, especially in the technology industry, that's not really the case. I mean, that's an age at which people start to get pushed out of the industry, or at least there's a perception of that.
That's bizarre to me because, I mean, there are occupations where it's almost as though, you know, like lawyers, right? You know, you don't look at a lawyer and go, oh, well, they're 50. They can't possibly, or 60. I mean, I can't imagine being 35 years old, being talented at what I do, and already being, is it because technology, the what's demanded of somebody in that industry, employers think that you have to be much younger? Is it the faces they want in their office, they want them to be younger?
Well, I think it's more a reflection of the technology industry kind of puts a premium on anything young and new and hip, and it's constantly looking for the next big thing. Naturally, that would correlate to what are the kids using and what is youth. Let's imbue our industry with this kind of youthful energy and people who know about what's going on in the internet and what the next big thing is. The downside to that is older people with work experience have a lot of value to provide to an organization too. So,
but then one of the pitfalls, as you mentioned in your piece, is that then with the experience, they also can or and should be able to get higher salaries, so they're more expensive.
Right. So there's an economic component to this as well, which I didn't quite anticipate when I first started reporting this. But that's also that as companies look for ways to cut costs, they're kind of exploiting the younger generation who's willing to work longer for less,
right?
And that kind of willingness and, you know, those people kind of taking jobs out of necessity has kind of fed into this age discrimination.
And now there was a conversation that obviously erupted after your piece. Did you hear from people in other industries as well? I'm guessing you did.
Well, The technology sector is where this seems to be most prevalent. But okay. I had people coming out of the woodwork, and I did not anticipate this at all, just coming to me with their stories of, I was subject to age discrimination too. And as somebody who works in media, I'm sure you can relate to this. Any industry that's kind of being upended, the business model is being upended by digitization, by a move to the internet, is kind of experiencing this as well. And, you know, somebody who works in the media, no industry has kind of been, has kind of immune. Been rattled by. Yeah, exactly.
No industry is immune from this. I mean, Senator Katowski, you work in an industry right now which serves the public, helps people. You want to look for the most talented individuals. There's a value on that, isn't there?
I was just talking to my my wife today. I had a woman come into my office, and I was just astounded what her resume was like. And how, and she's a little older than I am, mm-hmm. And she doesn't. She's kind of looking for work, right. But her curriculum vitae, the level of research, her everything she's accomplished. I was like, this is astounding,
right?
That, and I was like, well, why isn't she in the job that she should be at, right? And I think you find that, and you find people. Who are very credentialed, very accomplished, and I don't think that there's much of a premium that it should be placed on, you know, people's understanding of and their experience, their, like how systems works and weathering a crisis and dealing with it. And you know, I used to have to talk about this thing. It was like, and it's going to sound like a little bit unfair. I'm like, if you haven't really stayed up at night and really, you know, changed the diaper, you know. You know what I mean? I don't know. And sometimes it's like, or if you haven't been through an absolute struggle where you're like
a crisis,
a business has been like pushed to the precipice. I ran a business once that went bankrupt. It was terrible. But
don't put that on your resume. Never, ever. I'm kidding.
Thank you. But the point is, like, people have been through an incredible. That people go. I mean, what's the best way to test someone's mettle? What they've been through, and if you haven't been through that much, it's like, how do you know?
Well, and I think to what John's piece is about in technology. I mean, because I, John, the folks that are trained, the young people who are studying this. Do you think that there's going to be, you know, when they read something like this, someone in college thinks, well, if I'm going to be aged out by 35. Then what are their options? To go back to school and do something else where it's okay to get older?
I don't have a good answer to that.
Yeah.
I didn't really encounter anybody who did, which is the most concerning part.
This is something that's been bothering me for the last few weeks is the expectations, adjusting expectations.
Right.
You know, when you study something when you're 21, you decided what you wanted to do, right? And so the person that you write about in your piece, Javier, right, who at 25 had gotten this job at 42,000, he's going along pretty well. By the time he's 35, he's aging out now, right? So what do you do? Don't you think, John, people in a lot of industries, there has to come a point where you have to adjust your expectations and go, what now? If it's not going to be this, you know,
right.
How much time do you give yourself? How much time do we give all of ourselves to go, I need to train at something else?
I mean, I guess, but it's also kind of hard to tell somebody who, you know, by 35, you're anticipating that you're going to be in the best earning years of your life. That's when you're paying off your mortgage. That's when you're saving up to pay for your children's college. I mean, Javier, he has a son. So it's kind of, on paper, we always hear about job retraining. We need to reacclimate, you know, especially with the working class, we need to reacclimate them to the digital age, and everyone should have a job behind a computer. I mean, that's much easier said than done.
I know.
He's been doing their job a certain way for more than a decade.
Well, and also if you like invested all your time and energy and resources when you're working, you know, long, long hours, you really don't have time to retool during the course of your efforts on a daily basis, unless your company is to say, okay, we're going to invest in that. And what if the company's saying, no, I don't need to invest in that because I have somebody coming
younger,
down the pipe who already knows.
Yeah.
Right.
So the other piece that you wrote is why Gen X is so pissed at millennials.
Yeah. And this was kind of born out of the first piece. I was not anticipating on writing this piece. But the response to my age discrimination piece is that older workers kind of feeling like they're being squeezed out of the labor market has, you know, it's fostered a lot of contempt for the younger generation that is viewed as taking their jobs. It's almost kind of strangely analogous to you know, what we see kind of in the larger labor market with, you know, Trump supporters thinking people from foreign countries are taking their jobs. Right. I mean, that was like that kind of analogy struck me.
Right. To be able to blame. To blame somebody else for your struggle. And that's and I guess that's what I'm saying. I was in Los Angeles. My Uber driver was telling me how he had done special effects on the last big movie he had done was Titanic. And the director, James Cameron, had offered everyone that was working. He had done he did these small scale models, like so. All you know, they used to build like these models and stuff. And obviously, Titanic was a blend. It was CGI, and there were still small scale models to you know, for size. And he was telling me that Cameron had offered them all training to transfer into CGI. And he said, because he was at the top of his field and he didn't take that opportunity. And it was the biggest mistake he'd ever made because he said, you know, what I do, I'm the best at what I do. There's always going to be demand for that. And his jobs are few and far between now in 2017. So, I mean, there are moments but I wanted to ask him, like, how about now? I mean, I know it's been 15 years since whenever the movie came out. What about now? I guess it's easy for me to say, but I have gone through this a little bit with my husband losing his job, and we have to sit down and decide what choices are we going to make. And resenting people. There are comics that come up behind me, and I go, well, that's a way to do it.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
I guess you're doing it that way. You know, look, when YouTube and social media became the big way comics started spreading their brand. Figure it out, I guess. I don't mean to be dismissive, but I want to be encouraging. I want to encourage people that there is, right now is your chance, is your moment. You know, you're not done.
No.
Don't you think, John?
And that's a legitimate point, but is everybody going to be a computer programmer? Does everyone have that skill set?
Right.
Does everyone have that capacity?
Right.
I don't know. I'm willing to guess no.
Aren't there millions of jobs across the country that are going unfilled? I was talking to someone, to a representative, who said there are welding jobs in Aurora, the vocational jobs. No one wants to go to those jobs.
This is interesting. Last estimate, there was 100,000 manufacturing jobs available in the state of Illinois.
But people aren't trained for them.
Well, it's two things. Yeah, it's interesting. The manufacturers want them to be trained when they come out of college or community college. They want them to be ready. And these are jobs, they said these are well-paying jobs. And so they're looking for that kind of investment from the public sector investment to help them get trained and to make sure they're prepared.
Right.
So it's kind of a contradiction that's out there. They're like, well, we want it. But they don't want to necessarily invest in the training because it's very costly unless there's like some of these policy moves that they're expecting. But yeah, there are these jobs that are out there in manufacturing. And so what's our policy decision? And will they hire people of a certain age?
Right.
Right. I just saw this video on the White House. Had posted a video when there was a program that the White House was involved in. Because the federal government was involved in helping to retrain people who'd lost their job. They'd been in an industry forever, and these people were successful. They worked in warehouse. They worked in companies, and the technology basically outpaced them.
Right.
These 55-year-old men, you know.
We have to. And John, before we let you go, I want to make sure that people know about about Mel Magazine. Tell us about Mel Magazine.
Mel, we launched a year ago. We're based out of Los Angeles. We have journalists who previously worked for the New York Times, New York Mag, Playboy, and it's a men's magazine. I like to tell people that if GQ and Vice got together and
that's great,
had a love child, that would be Mel.
What an excellent description. Hey, I want to have you on the show again. Make sure we have your information. I mean, I know we have your information, but I want to check back with you on the pieces that you write and keep having conversations with you.
Yeah, I'd love that. Thank you.
Sounds great, John. And how can people find you on Twitter, on the social medias, as us old ladies say?
I'm just at McDermott, just my last name.
Oh, wow. You grabbed that fast, didn't you, at McDermott?
I had a little help. It was kind of an inside job, but yeah.
That's good to know. At McDermott on Twitter, and we will hear from John again. Check out his writing at melmagazine.com. And these pieces are really important. Thank you for doing your work, John. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, more after this on 720 WGN. Oh, You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I am having a freak out. You know why? Because I'm having donuts. I'm having donuts from the, is it Front Room Donuts?
Yeah, Front Room Donuts.
Now, the thing is, you just told me off the air that you're, are you originally from New York or you were teaching in New York?
I was teaching in New York. I'm originally from Michigan.
Oh, okay. You are all over the place. So Dylan, yeah. Dylan Masick is joining us from Bridgeport Coffee Company and has brought us some donuts. Thank you so much for that.
Sure.
You do know, and I'm sure you've been told in Beverly, that they don't say front room, do they?
No, it's more front room.
Front room.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a front room. What? Why do you call it the front room?
Well, when I was thinking about a name, my friend Chris brought that up as the first thing that he mentioned. Mm-hmm. And it's partly that it's a term that feels like it's disappearing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And also, so we wanted something that would feel classic, something like it had been around a long time. And also, the donuts are a nice thing to have on those times that you are having company over.
Yes.
Have donuts or coffee in your front room or front room. And so,
if you brought me a tray like of donuts. Fitting, yeah, it feels like a fitting. Fitting yeah. Well, fitting if you bring me a tray of donuts in your front room, I'm not leaving. I'm going to be there for a while. We're having a whole conversation. Mm-hmm. We're going to be there for a while.
Yeah, ideally, that it would be something that serves that kind of purpose beyond just something that you sort of scarf down on your way to the train. So
right.
If a name like that felt like it gave the feel that we wanted.
I love that. So you want something that's a little more cozy, a little bit like sit down, take your time and enjoy this. And by the way, the silence that you feel around you from Senator Katowski and Paul Farvar is, by the way, we come on out, Tom, and grab you a donut. because these are really good. I'm sorry, Esmeralda. I know that you're in the middle of a detox.
That's okay.
Wow, did you hear the pain just dripping from her voice?
You should softly, probably yeah. Say it's a good kind of detox.
It's a good, no, it's a good detox. No, I'm not saying like she's in detox. She's doing a cleanse, a 30-day cleanse. Paul, how are you doing?
Oh my God, this is the best donut I've ever had in my life.
I'm not even kidding you a little bit. I don't even know, like, are these...
I thought the sprinkles was good, but the chocolate is...
I haven't had the
chocolate
yet.
Where's the chocolate? It's outstanding.
I don't know, but I'm not tired anymore, that's for sure.
Are you ready to go?
Yeah.
This is fantastic.
This is the loudest I can hear myself talking.
The donut is dense in a really good way.
It's yeah. Like,
you thank know. You.
Is yeah, there cocaine in this? What's going on?
Just
what time is it?
Substantial donut.
Are we going to a rave later?
What's going on? Where are we going? Where's the after party?
Okay, why are we enjoying this so much more than a regular donut? Because
yeah, something's up. Tell us what's up. Why am I talking so fast?
For the chocolate donuts,
I feel like I want to eat six more of them.
That's great. For the chocolate donuts, it's mostly just a really, really thick glaze. I kind of started with a standard one, and I just gradually added a little more cocoa and a little bit more, and over the course of a month or so, it became really almost like a cake frosting.
Yes.
So.
Yes,
and it's, I like it. The cocoa's a really good is. One too. It's from Blommers, the cocoa I use.
You so. Haven't even had the cinnamon yet. What's your favorite one that you made?
Or cinnamon?
Well, the cinnamon.
The cinnamon powdered one. Is
I like the cinnamon sugar the most. I think I partly cinnamon. I've had it the least.
Why is so that? Because everyone takes it from you?
I started doing it last. I was doing other stuff, and then I do those the least also because sometimes you can only toss them in cinnamon sugar when they're still really hot. And right. So if I forget, I can't make them that day. And so,
right.
Like the chocolate so or the vanilla or anything you can put on an hour later, it's fine. But the cinnamon sugar, it's like a 5-minute window of when it really is perfect. So
there are days when there's no cinnamon?
Sometimes.
That's a sad day for everyone.
Cinnamon makes everything better.
Less
it
and
does.
Less.
It really does.
And cinnamon, do you feel like you can't really make that many mistakes with cinnamon either, right?
Yeah.
Like the chocolate, I could say you have to take some time, right?
Yeah.
Cinnamon just, oh, here we go.
So why, what got you into making donuts and this coffee company? And how many people, okay, let's start here. Who do you have this Bridgeport Coffee Company with?
So Bridgeport Coffee was started by a few friends. The founder, who's still really, really involved on a day-to-day basis and runs the roasting operation as well, his name's Mike Pilkington.
Mm-hmm.
So he started that, and then when he was opening a new store, he hired me to run that one.
Okay.
As I was coming back here from New York and wanted to learn more about like running a food business, because I'd been a line cook, but I'd never run anything, and I wanted to learn coffee. I'd never done anything with that, and so I thought to open a bakery, there's all these puzzle pieces that you want to get, and so it worked out really well because he needed someone to help open and run this new one he was opening in Beverly. And so I could learn a lot about understanding the finances and the day-to-day operations. And he knew all along that I wanted to have a bakery down the road. And then after probably 6 months or so into that shop being open, it just worked out really well because we had the ventilation system that we would need and everything.
Right.
And we had extra space in the back. And so it just worked out really perfectly that we could transform it into this sort of donut pop-up. And it was, from the first discussion until we were selling them, was like a week or two. So
that's wonderful.
It worked out really well.
How are you doing?
I'm just waiting to hear the part of that. And then we, the secret ingredients is from Colombia. But we don't talk about that because it is illegal in the States. Like, what is the addicting chemical that's in here?
Sugar. Sugar is super addictive. Sure. Ask your coworker that's on the cleanse.
Well,
see,
Ez, how are you doing without your sugar? Oh my God, the cinnamon.
I'm fine. You guys are going to crash hard.
I'm about to take a nap in about 5 minutes.
Oh my God.
See, that's really good stuff.
But I eat donuts probably 2 or 3 times a week. I go to the local 7-Eleven and get like a long john. They're pretty good.
You're never gonna have this.
I know they're pretty good. Everything is pretty good. The thing is, it doesn't last long, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And it doesn't taste like this. They don't put cocaine in theirs, but they're a lot cheaper than what you're spending here, Dylan.
This is like the Wolf of Wall Street version of donuts.
Like, I eat those and I don't feel like this. Like, I actually feel energized.
Happiness.
Right now.
I feel like Dylan took some serious time in making these donuts too.
I can feel it.
Yeah. Yep. And he's an artist.
Yeah.
These feel personal. That's what it is.
That's what it is.
It feels personal.
I can feel the colors in the room right now. I've never taken Molly, but I think I know what it feels like.
Do you have more?
What?
What flavor? Look at that. That's
It's a vanilla glaze. Yeah.
Seriously. Wow.
Wait, I'm not done yet. There's going to be one more.
Yeah, I think there's a plain one as well.
We should have started there and then built it. No, so, this is all good. We're all over.
So I had a question. So if you were to have the last donut you're going to have on this, on this earth, right? Your last, which donut
this
would you have?
Dark.
What's your favorite donut?
In the world or the ones that I make?
Did you make your favorite donut? You said, like, I'm going to go.
For the ones that I make, I would say cinnamon and sugar when it's still, like, really, really hot.
Yeah.
Almost too hot to eat.
See, the look Katowski just gave me was like, I'm there. I could see that. I'm feeling
it. The cinnamon sugar when it's warm, right? When it's right out. Yeah.
It's a nice sensory experience if it's because you have like the warmth of the cinnamon in a way that you taste and feel in your nostrils, but then you have the warmth of the actual temperature as well. Like those sync up. So it's like a more powerful experience. Like eating spicy food that's really hot. Like the same thing where those two sensations sync up.
I've known the senator for about 6 years. I've never seen him drenched in delight the way he is right now.
Well, here's the thing. I don't have coffee, right?
Right.
I don't have caffeine through soda.
You don't drink booze.
I don't drink booze. You give me something like this.
Yeah.
This is the most excitement I've had in about 10 years.
You know what you need? You need a break. More after this on 720 WGN.
All right.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We can talk about this on the air, sir. While I was in Springfield, I was making the rounds at various celebrations. And Governor Rauner was also going around with the inauguration and the swearing in of the new General Assembly, the 100th General Assembly. And he happened to come into Driftwood, Marty's party, Representative Marty Moylan. And there were actually people yelling at him at the time. Not yelling, but they were like, if you like taking funding away from schools, you know, what are you coming in here to take our drinks out of our hands? Like, just like going after him. And I took a moment and I introduced myself. I said, I'm Patty Vasquez from WGN Radio. I started coming down here on World Autism Day when you cut funding for autism programs. I have a son with special needs. And he smiled and he said, thank you for coming. And then I said, can I take a picture with you? And I was about to take a selfie. And one of his aides or his body guy, whatever it was, whoever he was, said, let me take the picture. And I was like, no, I can do it. And he goes, no, please let me take the picture. So he took the photo. And I swear, Dylan, I really thought I was smiling. So it was not. Are you saying I was not smiling in the photo?
I mean, I just think it's funny that you are trying to convince him instead of the senator and myself.
You're not frowning.
Right, I'm not frowning. I'm not like, right? I think it's.
I've seen it a couple times.
I think it's more if you know me, you know that that's not how I smile. Stop it.
See?
It's not.
The senator knows. It's a total smirk, like this guy. Like I'm you're not, saying.
He was like, if there's a noise next to it,
if there's a cloud bubble above your head, it's like this guy.
Smile that you make when you have to smile for a picture, but you're in a picture with someone you really disagree
like,
with.
You look like you went to a dance. You got set up with somebody you didn't want to go with. That's you look a like. Horrible you got that, like, setup. It's a horrible setup.
That's what it is.
At the very least, I just want it to be known that I did not attack him. I did not. But when I took the picture, I thought I was. And they only gave me one shot. They only took one picture, and I like to take a safety one to make sure it looks good. They only took one, and that's the one I got. And I went to Saputo's to get some quiet. I thought that everyone was going to be at these big banquet halls. I didn't know people would be at Saputo's. I thought I'm going to go have some nice chicken or whatever. And Speaker of the House Michael Madigan happened to be at the back table, and as I walked in, Governor Rauner was right behind me. And he walked over to Speaker Madigan's table and was looming over them. So I got a picture of that as well.
You know, I saw that photo and I got dizzy looking at it. Did you take that? Were you like on the ground upside down? What was that? It was like
yeah, it was
an
a weird angle.
Didn't it seem like the pictures were all tilted and askew too? Like an earthquake had just happened. It was just weird.
Or so earthquake or a shot?
No, and I'm actually in the background. If you look at the mirror on the back wall there, you can see me in the shot. You can take.
Yeah, that's a.
Okay.
I don't want to look at it anymore. My equilibrium is way off after watching it. Look.
Okay, so we're talking to Dylan about his amazing donuts. What
the heck happened to the pictures? Something happened. There was some kind of a row that occurred.
There was some dizziness to it. I felt it.
It was, but I mean, so we'll talk about this when we come back because we're talking to Dylan about Bridgeport Coffee Company, and they have these amazing donuts, and this is the Front Room Donuts. And now, how can people get more of these donuts? Because I don't think we could sing your praises any more than we have.
Thank you.
Guys, I've never seen them so, and I'm giddy. I'm like, look at my pictures.
We need to find your dealer and get more of these because I'm all out. Like,
so they're available at all of the Bridgeport Coffee locations, so the one in the Hyde Park Arts Center, the one in Beverly, the original at 31st and Morgan, and the one in the Roosevelt Collection in the South Loop. Wow. They're at Nightcap Cafe in Pilsen.
Is that open right now?
It might be. And they're also at Open Produce in Hyde Park, and the Lutheran School of Theology's Cafe, also in Hyde Park.
You need to go north side a little more.
For north side, you can get them if you want to get fancy donuts. I collaborate with Bon Vivant Cakes, if you've seen those cakes anywhere.
Rachel, he is not playing. He has really gone out. This is amazing. Okay, go on, north side.
Yeah, so we do collaborations together, and also I do collaboration donuts with the Rice Table. If you look that up, it's Indonesian pop-up dinners, and we do different donuts for that together.
I gotta get you with
those. Are on the north side.
I gotta get you with my friends at Knife and Tine because they have a couple of different locations. I see a relationship now. As far as coffee goes, are you locked into just Bridgeport? Because I also see something with our friends.
No, we supply all the Bridgeport coffees, but we're also supplying some other coffee shops.
Because here's what I want to do. You know what I want to do? I want to do a pairing with Chopin Coffees and also with these. With these donuts.
Do you have a food truck that comes downtown in the afternoon?
Or to not Paul's house.
Around 2 o'clock?
Yeah.
There's a 7-Eleven.
That's incredibly specific.
Can you sell in front of the 7-Eleven nearest Paul's house?
That would be nice, right? You're like,
Who's that? Did you just snort?
No, it came through my throat.
You don't have a food truck or delivery guy?
Oh, my God.
Because around 2 I'm o'clock tomorrow, I'm going to need one of these.
I'm the delivery guy.
This is amazing.
Reach out. Yeah.
All right, I'll give you my card. Let's see what we can do.
Dylan, as you can see, you've won some fans in studio, and I hope that everyone listening takes an opportunity. If you like donuts, if you like pastries, if you just like something that's donut-like, cake.
Or big buzz of happiness without drugs, allegedly.
This is pretty spectacular. Well done, my friend. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We look forward to having you back
good
in studio. We want to see how things are going, especially, you know, as you guys continue to grow. And thank you so much. Is there a website people can follow you?
There's a Facebook page if you search Front Room Donuts, and also on Instagram, Front Room Chicago, all one word.
All right, Front
Room. Lots of pretty pictures on the Instagram.
And so anyone who's interested can reach out via either of those and just message.
Esmeralda's looking at pictures of donuts right now.
I am.
I don't want to go.
It ends in February, so I'll be there.
Yeah, she's going to be all up in Front Room. We want to thank our friend Dylan from Front Room Donuts. You can go to Front Room Chicago on Instagram and Front Room Donuts on Facebook. And that's donuts the easy way, you were saying, right? That's the easy spelling. So go check it out because you've heard us. We kind of lost our minds in the studio over donuts. Rob Martyr, I'll try to save you. Are you coming? Are you going to get the right elevator and join us?
Oh, I hope so.
I have some Philly's.
Boy, they sound good.
I have Philly's best cheesesteak sandwiches too. Are you hungry at all? Dylan, are you hungry? I have a cheesesteak sandwich if you want.
Oh, sure. Sounds great.
All right. Excellent. All right. This is Chicago's very own 720 Chicago WGNRadio.com. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. We all need some change. How's everybody doing? First, we had, we did it in reverse order. We had donuts first from our good friend Dylan at Front Room Donuts. And my very good friend, Christine Bloomer, who was the wine diva. Many of you who've listened to WGN Radio for years, you knew her on Steve Cochran's show. And she did some great segments. She would, talk to you about what wines were most popular or what would go with your dinner. Every Halloween, she would tell you what wines to pair with your trick-or-treat candy, you know, what went well with Reese's Peanut Butter Cups and with your Snicker bars. And but her mantra was, life's short, eat dessert first. And we lost the wine diva several years ago. Miss her all the time. And every time I have a glass of wine, I think of her and wonder if she would have liked it. And she's one of my favorite people. There is a change in the air, Senator, I think that we're at a point in our lives in this country where there's choices to be made about how we're going to respond to whether or not if you're feeling excited, if you're invigorated by this election and you feel like now the country's going to be on the right path because you didn't like where we were going for the last 8 years, you have a choice too, which is to maintain that excitement, to be involved, to be vigilant about what it was you wanted from your elected officials, your candidates.
And what was promised to you.
And what was promised to you. Right. And if you're disappointed, you have a responsibility to not be passive, to then, you know, to be involved, to pay attention, to know what to figure out what to do next, how, you know, because I think it's a feeling of no control. It's feeling, you know, if you voted, Esmeralda and I were talking about this earlier, you know, we all talk about like, well, you know, if you don't vote, you can't complain or make sure you vote. Well, when you vote and things don't turn out the way you want to, or you find out that there's, you know, whether there's voter suppression or there, you know, people were disappointed that there were 3 million more people that voted for one candidate and that is not the president of the United States. So people are like, what, see, I voted, what difference did it make? This is the way a democracy works. You know, you can't always, it is about everyone being a part of the process. Unfortunately, how many people was it that didn't vote? 110 million people did not vote in this country. So for those folks, what are you going to do next? But I think that the speech that President Obama gave on Tuesday talking about the next generation, about lace up, show up, dive in.
Grab a clipboard.
Yeah, grab a clipboard. Be involved. And you today, Senator Katowski, as the CEO of ChildServe, helping children reach their potential, you've launched something new today. And you've resolved to do something different in 2017.
Right. Right. And so in the spirit of President Obama's remarks to, be the change we seek to be, seek to see in this world,
right?
To take responsibility and take action to achieve that change. So we declared 2017 the year of future leaders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we work with children and we help them to build better lives so they can reach their potential and so they can lead in their lives.
Right.
Lead in their lives. At the very minimum, people think, well, what's leadership? And I'm like, lead in their lives
so they can lead in their community and lead in their families,
mm-hmm. at
lead
their workplace,
in their state, mm-hmm. workplace, lead in this country. I mean, now more than ever, it says, okay, what are you going to do? And to me, it said, okay, I made this statement. I did a little video, and you know, you did. Let's talk about what you did on your video, which was great. But on video, I said, look, over the next year, I'm gonna persuade, I'm gonna convince 100 people to get involved as mentors, as volunteers, as foster parents.
You are, yep. Econ is one.
I got your volunteer,
Paul.
Right.
What are the hours on this thing?
No hours. There's no time limit. There's just
no commitment.
Hey, what are you going to do to commit? What's your resolution for this year, mm-hmm. to help children to reach their potential, right? And see, here's the thing about the word potential. Everybody has potential.
Right.
Everybody. And this doesn't get into like isolating one group from the next.
From 4 years old to 84 years old.
Everyone
has
potential. Mm-hmm. And we got a chance to be able to realize that. So I'm excited about that. You know, we've had like, you know, close to, you know, 3,000 views on the, you know, on the video that we did today. And I know you've had several hundred already on your video. And what do you tell
people? I tried getting the Capitol behind me. That's what that shot is. But I didn't want to go outside.
Yes.
I was in the lobby of my hotel and I had to do it over and over and over again. How many takes did you do on your video?
Just one and a half. No, right, I'm just kidding. I took a few takes because it's awkward to film yourself.
Oh yeah.
You know, and hold it like, well, you know,
well, not just that, but to convey the message because this is important.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's difficult. I will admit it's hard for me to do two things at once. You know, I'm thinking about what I have to say and holding it up like,
how do I look and why is my forehead so shiny?
It was one of the discussions. Someone, the woman on my team said, well, what do you think about the video? I said, what do you think? She's like, I said, well, just say it. She's like, I don't know if you're, I thought the content was great. I'm like, what do you have to say? She's like, well, your face looks kind of shiny. I said, I don't care.
I was kidding when I said shiny.
I know, but is the message out there? No, but this is true. There's a discussion I have. I said, this is like, this to me is like, are you putting yourself out there? Are we doing something? Can we make a difference in the life of a child? Are we going to invest in them? Is this what we're going to do? So let's move beyond all this rhetoric that's out there to invest in children.
Right.
You know, I think everybody can agree that making the decision to invest in children is a wise investment, that pays off.
Right.
That they do it in their family, right? They do it in their community. That's a smart thing to do.
I agree.
It's an effective thing to do.
And that's, I mean, you know, because I spend so much time in Springfield and I do come with a little bit of the desire to make sure that they remember our most vulnerable. But I think that there, you know, beyond that, there is so much that is at stake right now in the state of Illinois. And, you know, I want to keep reminding them of that. But I also want people that live in those legislators' districts to remind them. So if people can make a commitment to say, you know, we need to make sure that whatever you're doing downstate, you know, is something that will make the lives of our children better, to give them the opportunities to reach their potential.
Yeah. I think there's so much you can do. There are so many things you can do. You can, as I indicated, you're going to reach out. You're going to advocate to elected officials.
And give more airtime.
Airtime here to talk about what you can
platform.
Do for kids.
Yes.
And because
does this count? Can I check it off my list?
This counts. It's counting.
I'm kidding.
I'm keeping track.
Yeah. I know. Paul wants to know what the hour commitment is.
What are you going to do, Paul, this year? What are you going to resolve to do?
What am I going to resolve to do, or what am I going to do? Because I was going to like your page and say, it's not too shiny. I feel like that's my contribution.
Do you know what?
That's kind of a cop out.
No, I'm just kidding. I just was looking at the video while you guys were talking, and it's not shiny.
I know.
That's fine.
That's why I
got to listen to the content.
So I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Whoever said that, tell her to take it to Yelp.
You know what the thing is? She was good. She was just like, I don't really, to me, it's like, let's get it out there. Mm-hmm. Let's get people talking about it.
Yeah.
And get people committed to helping kids.
I'm going to make my nieces and nephews future leaders.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's great.
I'll help them.
There you go.
They moved to Florida, though, last month.
That's okay.
So.
And the question was like, what are you going to do to make that happen?
I got to get them back here is what I'm going to
do. Get back here? Do you want us to
see what we can do.
Let's extradite them.
I don't really like Florida.
Extradite them from Florida.
Why does your friend Ed Mullen think he missed you? Does he not know he can listen right now?
You know what? Tell Ed. Yeah.
Ed Mullen.
Ed, are you out there?
Yeah. If you didn't miss him, he's here right now.
Did you hear me eating those hallucinogenic donuts?
Oh, my. You guys flipped out.
Wow. I'm kind of coming down right now. Maybe it was a mistake.
Here, well, if you're going to crash, let me take a break. More after this on 720 WGN.
You've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin'. And- And now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking.
Interesting he should play that. I have I don't know if you've ever noticed this. When I first started coming down to Springfield, Senator Katowski, I used to wear high heels and a dress and stuff. And we talked about it the first time you and I went down there. And you're like, because I wanted to make my presence known. And I knew that I could dress like that, right? But now when I go,
you
I wear...
You dress like Catwoman when you came. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's like a villain coming to Springfield.
I was like, what
is happening? I didn't know what. So, but I, because, first of all, there's a lot of stairs. I don't take the elevator. I try to avoid taking the elevator as often as possible. So I now always wear leather riding boots or motorcycle boots with a dress and a leather jacket when I'm there. Because I just, but it is something, that's why the song made me think of that, is that I only wear boots so I can keep up. I want to have a conversation with somebody in the hallway.
They think you're the head of the Pink Ladies when you come by.
The Pink Ladies?
From Greece. Yeah.
Do your shoes click-clack?
Nope.
Oh, you need them to click-clack.
No, my shoes do not click-clack. I like sneaking up on people, Esmeralda.
I like go over them. Like, you walk behind them, and then they start looking behind you.
Yeah, you come up on them, like, what's happening?
Yeah, I'm coming over here. Pace.
See, I noticed the studded American Eagle on the back of your leather jacket.
Stop it.
Is it bejeweled as well?
bedazzled, bejeweled.
Well, one of the things I don't get a chance to do when I'm in Springfield, are vegetables and fruit not allowed in the Springfield proper? Like, is
no, there was an ordinance that was passed years ago.
Yeah.
And it strictly has to be a certain percentage of fried food.
Yeah. Lobster. They have fried lobster at Luxembourg Inn.
Sounds amazing. Man.
Yeah. Is it coated?
Don't ever eat shellfish down there. Nothing like crab.
Don't,
or
let's no not disparage the business.
I'm not disparaging. I'm just telling you what happened to me. I can share my experience. Can I not?
Firsthand.
The only time I ever, I shouldn't say don't ever, but the experiences I've had, whenever I had shellfish down there, I was violently ill. So I hope I'm not hurting the tourism down there, but there was a place that I had there. So I'm sure there's other places that have
rhymed
good quality
with head hobster. No, yeah. I'm just kidding.
No, it was like
one of the joints.
It was a joint, right? Mm-hmm. A food joint. And then I went there and I was just, oh my God. And I was like, oh, it was my birthday. I was like, okay, I'll have some lobster. And it was punishment.
Wow.
Yeah. Punishment. Unbelievable.
Wow. There's no bodies of water there. Like, what were you thinking?
Exactly.
Well, apparently there's no orchards or fruit farms because there's no, everything is fried. And like all the sides are like, even if there's green beans, it's like green beans dripping
fried
in bacon.
Yeah. It depends. There's places, it depends. If you've worked, you can find places. Sebastian's I used to go to was my favorite place.
Sebastian's.
They had a lot of really healthy food. Mm. Sebastian's Hideout, they call it. Sebastian's Hideout. But it wasn't really a hideout. It was right on the street. But it was really good food.
They have a thing called a horseshoe. Have you been to Springfield, Paul?
No, not yet.
So,
not lived. Proper, yeah.
So the horseshoe is Mecca. Texas toast with French fries and like a pork chop or a slab of some sort of meat and gravy.
Yeah. Just put a donut on the side of that.
Well, you went to U of I, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have a haystack?
No.
Yeah, I went to U of I. I had a haystack.
The home stretch in?
Yeah.
No, I never.
You never went to the home stretch in?
I never went to the home stretch in.
So, and they had diner, Mel's, what's her,
steak
the
and
diner chicken? Too there. It was right there on
Marianne's,
yeah.
So you get ground beef with cheese on top of it, or like a quarter pounder. And then you'd have hash browns, sunny side with an egg on top, a hat on top, and then sausage or brown gravy.
Gravy.
So my buddy, Big Eddie, set the record for the number of haystacks.
Oh my God.
And the woman who was, do you remember Sue? I don't know if you remember her.
I remember Sue.
Anybody who's paying attention here, if they went to the home stretch in, call in because we went there.
Is it still there?
I don't think it's there anymore.
Because Marianne's Diner has the haystack now. You can order. Come on. It's not on the menu, but you say, I'll take a
road
stack.
Trip.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, I need
but
to
they don't put the egg on. They don't put the egg on.
No hat on top?
Yeah. Sorry.
No,
you have to ask for that.
It was a jinx.
Yeah,
it was fine.
But that's why I thought they started doing. Because I went there a few years ago. So my family was there, and I would go there for the haystack. So
you'd go there for the haystack.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't go just for that, but then I'd go and eat it.
Yeah. And I think there's, I think there's a restaurant you can order the haystack in Chicago.
We got to find it.
Yeah.
Please Google haystack. Tom's got calls coming in. Maybe I'm sure, you know, this is why WGN, our family on WGN is the best. They'll call and tell
Google.
Us. By the way, our good friend of the show, Tom Holland, who's a musician, is very hungry right now. First, we're talking about donuts, now horseshoes and haystacks. What he doesn't seem to know is that we're also eating Philly's best cheesesteak sandwiches in the studio. Mm. So much. This is. I'm
eating the French fries right now.
I haven't tried the fries yet.
Oh, they're really good.
And there's Cheese Whiz sauce back there too. I did 50 floors before I started the show. I came in and I saw Esmeralda. I'm like, I'm so tired. Esmeralda, we're having all these horrible things on your 30-day cleanse.
Yeah,
that's okay. I had a lovely cabbage slaw earlier.
Oh, it sounds
with chicken drumsticks in a chimichurri sauce.
Oh, chimichurri sauce. Mm-hmm. That makes anything happy, I guess.
Not as happy as that donut made me feel. No, like I am never going to feel that happiness again.
You know what we'll do? I know that you have once you come off the cleanse, you're also going to have 10 days of reintroducing food items into your diet.
I'll have to reintroduce some donuts and see how they make me feel.
We will call Dylan from Front Room Donuts and have him come in, and we'll reintroduce donuts into your
life. I want to be there.
I'm there.
We'll do it on a Thursday.
We're going to be going through detox at that time of our own for the donuts.
Yeah, we have to stop eating today.
If you see us walking on the street, and Paul and I walk around the street like staggering looking for donuts, you know what the problem is.
Yeah.
So good.
There's no way there's just sugar in that
stuff.
I
can't believe that I actually prefer, I think I like the sprinkles, and I love chocolate. I like the sprinkles more.
Sprinkles were my favorite.
They're cheerful too,
and the vanilla was my second favorite.
The sprinkles was really good, but I think it was the eager anticipation for the donut. But I have to tell you, I really did enjoy the chocolate, and I want to try the cinnamon when it's right out of the out of the.
You gotta go to Front Room. No, you gotta go. Go right there.
Just wait there. Let's go right now.
You gotta go, but you gotta go, and you gotta remind him,
right? Because he forgets sometimes because it has to be done last. He
within
said
5 minutes.
There are days with.
Do you think they're showing like Fast Times at Ridgemont High when you walk in there?
Oh, that'd be great.
Cheech and Chong's up in smoke.
What's the Matthew McConaughey movie? The kids.
Days and Confused.
Yeah, it's not even his movie, but he plays the former quarterback who can't leave town. Have you ever seen Days and Confused?
No, is it really good?
I think
that's
an
amazing movie.
It's a great
top
movie.
10, yeah,
yeah. I don't know about that, but yes,
it is.
It's good.
How dare you?
I can't.
I'm just right now. I'm so angry that I can't fight with you because I'm still trying to think of when I can get those donuts because I'm going to be on the south side and I can go to Bridgeport on the way. So,
how many would you get?
I think. Well, that's the thing. Like, do you think that if you eat seven, like, because you have to pace it? Because right now I'm feeling I've got the withdrawals. I think is that what you're feeling right now?
I got building up a sweat right now.
Getting the shakes. Go have some.
Dylan, if you're listening, come back right now. Dylan. Six sprinkles.
You know what's great is that we actually sent Dylan out with a cheesesteak sandwich. We were like, I gave him like, here, thank you for the.
I think Philly's best.
I think, you know how like drug dealers give you a sample? They're like, hey, try some for free this time. Like that's what he just did.
I don't really have that experience that you're talking
about. Well, I've seen it on after school specials. I lived in Oak Brook.
Before we go to a break, can I tell you a topic that Tom had pitched me? And I was like, you know, the senator's going to be in the studio tonight. I don't think we're going to do that one. There's a movement in two states in the country that want to label porn as a health risk. And I was like, you know what? Maybe we'll talk about that some other time. Maybe when the senator's not. We can talk about it later if you want. We'll discuss it.
I have so many things that I could say.
More after this on 720 WGN.
Billy Ray was a preacher's son. And when his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gathered around and started talking, Cousin Billy would take me walking out through the backyard. We go walking. Then he looked into my eyes. Lord knows, to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a.
Tom, I can't start the show. I can't get back to work because I've made such a mess of Philly's best cheesesteak sandwiches and some Front Room donuts. I'm so glad I did stair climbing. I have to do it after the show now as well. How are you doing?
Over here in this booth, I'm doing just fine.
Such a good night.
I'm filled with so much food. You're killing me.
And what's funny is that I was just saying in Springfield, I did not consume healthy food. And the first thing I do is eat donuts and Philly's best cheesesteak sandwiches.
But those donuts were otherworldly, right?
Did you try those yet, Kevin? Kevin Naughton joined us in studio as
yes,
well.
Yes, I am. I'm wolfing down donuts. I had the cheesesteak in the green room on the way over. I got the coffee. Coffee.
Well, I've moved on to Buffalo Trace because I just came back from Springfield. I need to take the edge off this.
That's
a little
a nice picture of you trying to smile too, by the way, honey.
I've seen
your smiles before, and I got to hand it to you. Most of your smiles, if not all of them, are very authentic.
Well, that was the thing was that my friends were telling me when they saw the picture of me with Governor Rauner is that, I mean, I don't have a poker face. You now know what you see is what you get. Yeah. So that was I thought.
Well,
I was,
way to give it to him.
I thought I was smiling. With God as my witness, Senator, I thought I was smiling.
I thought turkeys could fly.
I thought they could fly. Have you ever been in a locker room with Governor Rauner?
I didn't know you believed in God, Patty. As God is your witness.
What? In Springfield, is there like a sweat room somewhere that all the legislators and the executive branch like hang out?
No.
Like,
steam room. The executive steam room.
This isn't an Aaron Sorkin production.
You've never seen that.
I think I would run.
Like a Senator Connolly in a towel or, you know, Murphy, maybe Ryder.
Yeah, like in a terry cloth robe, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. You know, but no. So.
All right. The reason I'm asking that, we were talking off the air about, and Esmeralda and I have been to the King Spa in Niles. And then for the most part, I think women were trying to be, you know, sort of covering themselves. We went there late at night, so it wasn't very crowded. But I have been there in the steam room where women are doing yoga naked. So no one needs to see a downward-facing dog coming at you like that.
Oh, I beg to differ. If there's a possibility I can get involved, I'd like to get involved somehow. And you can call it a downward dog, a pigeon, whatever you want. I don't care. I really don't care.
That actually is a position, isn't it? Is it pigeon?
Yeah, a pigeon. Yeah.
There's a pigeon. Yeah, I know.
Half pigeon. You're right.
I would be so scared to touch something very, very hot in the sauna. Because everywhere there's very hot things steaming, I'd be scared to just my butt.
Yep.
I did sit-ups in one. I just started the steam process in 2017.
That was your resolution for 2017?
Well, everyone's like, it's really good for your skin and stuff. So
it's good for your, especially for people who use their voice a lot.
Yeah.
It's really good for our vocal cords.
Yeah, I feel refreshed after it, but I was telling the senator I did.
I performed at the Lyric after I went to a steam.
I could sing a few songs, but I did sit-ups in there. I was like, oh, this is too much. I'm not going to push it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like an awkward place.
That's what the senator started laughing, and I didn't think it was that awkward. I was by myself.
It's a little, if you come in
and I wasn't
to a
naked.
Steam room and someone's doing sit-ups.
Oh, hey, Bob, what's going on?
Hey, 122.
Oh, I got to 50. Let's not kid ourselves.
Kevin, have you found yourself in a bizarre situation in men's locker rooms or steam rooms?
This is about as bad as it's gotten for me in a while. I'll tell you that right now.
Talking to these two
knuckleheads right here, okay?
I'm not in the steam room. Come on.
Well, come on. You got to give us a break. We just ate cocaine-filled donuts, and we're coming down right now.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be stuck to the ceiling for the rest of this show, so...
Even Kevin's affected right now. He had one donut. We had like eight of those.
Yeah. Senator, you were mentioning someone doing Tai Chi at the YMCA that you were
in. Yeah, I used to live right when my wife and I got married. I was living in Evanston and go work out there. And my dad and I would work out. Mm-hmm. And then we'd go to the jacuzzi, right? And then afterwards, I'd go in the shower. I'd walk into the shower once. And you know, it's all steamy. And there's a guy completely naked doing Tai Chi. And I was just saying, it's one of those narrow shots, trying to walk around him like I didn't want to get hit by like a wax on.
Wax on, okay.
Sure.
You know, that,
you know,
right?
I got to tell you that the positioning that we're talking about, the Tai Chi moves, I do that now every time I go and wash my hands in a men's room and everything's heat censored. I stand and I try to get a towel out. You know, so in order to get a towel out, I have to stand and do that like a Tai Chi move slowly in front of the heat censored spitting out. Mm-hmm. Paper, you know, and they never give you enough paper.
It doesn't.
You're standing there, and this is ridiculous.
I feel like there's someone with a video camera just playing with you.
Yeah.
You're there, right?
Yeah,
the worst is when you're like waving at it, and then you realize it's not motion sensor. It's actually one that you have to
pull. Yeah.
That's the worst. Because it's so random which thing is motion sensor and which is not. Like sometimes it's a soap, but the water is a flip faucet, or sometimes the water is motion sensor, but you have to pump for the soap, and then it's too many. Everything motion sensor or none of it. Yeah. It needs to be a uniform system.
I remember when I was a kid, the big thing, and this is going back quite a ways, the big thing was trying to get reception on your television. Sometimes you had to, like, my old man had the Philco black and white television set with the coat hanger antenna and the needle nose pliers to change the channel. You had to stand on one leg with your head tilted at a 45-degree angle, and you wrap aluminum foil around the coat hanger in order to get good reception. Now you get to do that to get a paper towel out of the bathroom.
Exactly.
Thank you.
That skill has not gone to waste. That's what happened.
Apparently,
see?
Yeah, it's just coming back.
Wow. Hey, man, check it out. More donuts.
More donuts. Okay. And by the way, Kevin is at Zany's this entire month.
The whole month.
Your house emceeing?
I've been having a blast. We've been having good, solid shows.
Excellent.
We got the rest of the weekend. Paul Morrissey is in. Mm-hmm. Headlining is myself, and Jordan Holmes is featured at.
Excellent.
So it's just the whole weekend I get to go. Nice job, Holmes. I know it's trite, but I can't help it.
You've been waiting all month?
I've been waiting forever to do that.
That's fantastic.
With an actual guy named Holmes. Holmes.
That's the Zany's on Wells. And by the way, you know what's real, right by the Zany's on Wells is the Fudge Pot. Have you been to the Fudge Pot?
Oh, no.
It's so good.
Nothing's going to compare to the donuts we just had.
Well, but when you finally, are able to peel yourself away from only eating donuts... they have incredible chocolate at the Fudge Pot.
I've been there. It's good.
It's very good. They have
once we finish the front room anonymous.
Yeah.
Get
through. Yeah, we have to go through therapy.
Your weaning process.
Once we get to the 12 step, we will be at the Fudge Pot.
Yeah. We have to
count on it.
Oh man.
What do they serve there? Is it
everything's covered in chocolate. And actually they also do molded shapes, so you can get like a Right, you can get like anything.
Can you shape this into a donut and put sprinkles on it? And also, can we call you Dylan? Just out of curiosity. Just, like, sir, you're being a little weird. And also, we don't open for another 4 hours. Oh, sorry. Okay. Is that what's going to happen? Senator and I are going to be standing outside there and be like, hey, is Dylan in there?
You're like shaking the freezing
cold. He looks so young, too, to like be like already franchising in all these different places.
He knows what he's doing.
He does know what he's doing.
Yeah, he's getting a bunch of people addicted to donuts.
I've been leading a pretty boring life until I got those donuts.
Tom, I swear to God, my guests are never this amped. I mean, usually it's usually Naughton is amped, and he's looking at these guys like they're crazy.
Funny.
Oh, yeah, I'm in between them. This is, yeah. Oh, and by the way, I just want to make this clear, Paul. If you're looking to add more drugs to the Fudge Pot donuts, you're on Wells Street.
Yeah.
You can pretty much get anything you want.
No, really? That's true.
I never have had that.
I never heard that about Wall Street.
Really? I've never had that experience.
Not recently.
I've been on that street.
It's been cleaned up.
And you're talking to the wrong people.
Kevin, who do you know?
Who are these people?
Is
it the guy that offers to shine your shoes? Is that the guy?
That's the guy. The guy who offers to shine my shoes has a bigger business.
I bet if we go there, be like, hey, you guys need any? And I'd be like, hey, do you have any sprinkles? And he'll be like, what? What's that? Like, and I'll be like, do you know Dylan or no? And he'll be like, no.
I've never been, no one's ever approached me to buy drugs from them before.
Really?
I've never been. I was in North Carolina, and I had to drive from a casino to the Raleigh, North Carolina airport. So it was like a 2-hour drive, and the flight was leaving at 5 or 6 in the morning, but the airport wasn't open yet. But there was a 24-hour Walmart nearby. Uh-huh. So I'm like, well, I'll just wander around the Walmart for a while. And this guy comes up to me, and he goes, and I was like, I was in the arts and crafts aisle, and he came up to me, goes, you got any pot? And I go, no, I'm waiting for a plane. And he ducks. He goes, what?
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
That's hilarious.
Like, because what a random thing to say to somebody, I'm waiting for my plane.
Yeah. Duck. Get out of his way.
He was like, what?
Expecting a plane? Yeah. Must be some really good stuff he was on.
Yeah, he was, but he thought I was selling. That's the only time I've ever had an exchange
I've never had that. Like, I've never.
I think we have innocent faces.
I get asked all the time, like even, I'm like in court and people are like, hey, you want a job? I'm like, I'm a lawyer. But yes, do you have donuts?
There's a difference between that chocolate and with the chocolates that's in fudge, right? It's a different.
They call it the Fudge Pot, but it's chocolate.
Oh, okay.
It's, yeah.
All right.
It is a bit of a misnomer.
Okay.
Because it's all chocolate. I mean, I think you can get fudge there, but for the most part, I don't know. I've only had the chocolate.
Blend, isn't it? Is it?
But yes. 312-981-7200. We need you to explain the difference between fudge and chocolate.
My mom's going to kill me. She makes fudge every year for everybody for the holidays.
Okay.
And so, you know, but there's, I think there's more of a whipping process and milk and all that other stuff. I don't know.
And Mackinac Island seems to have a corner on the market, don't they?
They have corner. That's like the house is made of fudge.
Do they really? I've never been to Mackinac Island. I've always wanted
to go. You're kidding.
I've never been.
You never did a gig up there?
No. There's a gig in Mackinac
Island?
There
was a gig on Mackinac Island.
Is there like a beautiful hotel there?
There's the Grand Hotel.
Grand Hotel. Yeah.
That's the one where the Christopher Reeves and who's the woman that never gets old?
Jessica Tang.
Yeah, no. Come on, somewhere in time. Somewhere in the movie.
Things that are green. I'm playing the pyramid here.
Angelina Jolie.
Stop it.
Who never gets old.
What?
What are you talking about?
Oh, Betty White. No. You're talking about the woman who was in Dallas.
I have
a pizza.
Michael Jordan.
Victoria Jackson also does not age.
She does not age.
Oh, you guys are going to hate when you hear
Nancy Kerrigan.
Other movies? Give us another movie she was in.
Nancy Kerrigan. Tonya Harding.
Oh, Shirley MacLaine.
Sure. How about I just start rattling off guys I grew up with on my block?
British.
Oh, British. Prince Charles.
Let's see, British.
Princess Diana.
Helen Mirren.
Esmeralda. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Tom said it.
Yeah.
It's Helen Mirren.
No, it's not Helen Mirren. No. It's the woman that was in this Christopher Reeves movie that was shot on Mackinac Island. 312-981-7200. I have a pizza for the person that calls him with the answer.
Wow.
312-981-7200.
Hi, this is Dylan.
Who co-starred with Christopher Reeve in the movie? Is it Somewhere in Time or Someplace in Time?
Actually, Dylan knows the answer because he knows everything. Where is he? Bring some sprinkles.
312-981-7200. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late, and we were talking about a pretty woman. It's so sad when I'm a fan of somebody, and I just haven't thought about her much lately. I mean, the commercials come up, but I was reminiscing about a movie, because we mentioned Mackinac Island, where so much great fudge apparently comes from, and there was a movie shot there with Christopher Reeve and an actress. It's a sweet movie. I want to make sure I get the name of the movie right, but first I needed to get the name of the co-star with Christopher Reeve. Andy, do you have the answer for me for a pizza?
Jane Seymour.
That's right. Nice. Did you see the movie that I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Isn't it a depressing movie? It is it's a little depressing, but it's sweet, right?
Yes. Sweet and depressing, huh?
It is a little bit depressing. Well, hold on the line, and Tom will take your information, and we'll get a Lou Malnati's gift card out to you, and hope you enjoy that pizza. Thank you so much, Andy.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a yes.
Just for the record, the woman that was married to Axl Rose is not Jane Seymour.
No.
It's Stephanie Seymour, so I wasn't that off guard. I think they're related.
Wasn't she a model?
I know, yeah. But she's like 20 in the movie, right?
Well, yeah. They're a few years apart from Jane Seymour, but Stephanie Seymour could have very well have been in that movie with Christopher Reeve.
You sound like you need an attorney, Paul.
I just need some sprinkles, man.
Is that it?
Come on. I just need a couple bucks for some sprinkles.
Are you going to be okay, Paul?
I never heard anybody give a trivia answer in such a defensive way. I'm telling you.
It's very defensive.
Because the senator was making fun of me because of the expert. It's not far-fetched. It could have been Jane Seymour.
See, it's funny because you guys asked me what other movies has she been in. And what would you say that Jane Seymour has been in besides, Medicine Woman,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's what I know her. That's what I would know her from.
What else would you know her from, Kevin?
What? That would be about it that I could think of.
Right? Planet of the Apes. I thought she was really good at that.
Yeah.
she's one of her best numbers.
Yeah, she played a great Dr. Zaius. That's true. Yeah.
Nice.
She was in the movie.
Dr. Zaius.
She was Dr. Zaius, yeah.
Me?
Stephanie Seymour was in three X-Men Guns N' Roses videos.
We are not talking about Stephanie
Seymour. Different Seymour altogether.
She was a great Madame Pomfrey in Harry Potter. Jane Seymour.
Is that true?
No, I didn't think so.
No,
that was too obscure. I totally struck out.
Pomfrey.
Sorry about that.
Wow, she was in Lassiter. Do you remember the movie Lassiter with Tom Selleck?
Oh, who doesn't?
You do.
I have the poster in my room.
Actually, I love the British series. Yes,
I believe him.
Stop it, Kevin.
Esmeralda, do you know Jane Seymour from anything?
Just Medicine Woman.
Wow. Why am I thinking the movie? There was a. Was it who played, not Sigourney Weaver, who played the woman, Jane, she was with the apes.
Jane Goodall.
Goodall.
Jane Goodall. Who was that?
That was Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. You were right about that.
That's a different poster.
That's not a poster. That's a...
Okay, this is a good point. What posters? Did you guys have posters of women growing up?
I did.
Who'd you have? I'm so eager to jump
Stephanie
on that
Stephanie Seymour.
Stephanie Seymour. Well, first of all, before Jane Seymour was in Wedding Crashers, too.
She was,
She
yes.
was the mother in that. That's
With Christopher Walken.
That's yeah. right. Mm-hmm.
I had I don't remember her name right now, but
another pizza if someone can name what who was Paul.
Who's been in my room who's from been 1987 to 1990?
He had a picture of Poison, the band.
Oh, God.
I didn't have Poison. Crew. I did have Guns N' Roses. I had the Police, this girl, and I had Guns N' Roses on there.
I can't remember
her name, but she was in.
My mother would not allow me to. She threw out the cover of the Some Girls album by the Rolling Stones. She's like, there's a woman with a brassiere on the cover of this album. We're throwing this out. And so I got to keep the album, but not the album cover.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, she was a nun. She studied being. She was in the convent.
Right. Started out that way. Kevin, did you have any posters of women? Or of anything?
I had sports figures, and then I had, I remember having a poster of Alice Cooper. it was kind of like a woman, you know. They came to the conclusion that...
Gene Simmons?
I didn't have a Gene Simmons, but, you know, that's because my dad said, what are you doing? Which is basically the blanket rhetorical question. He just looked around when he says, what are you doing? Because the Alice Cooper poster, he's like, I'm working all day long. I come home and you got an Alice Cooper poster and you're, okay, Dad, I guess it's going to...
Taking that down,
that didn't work out.
Esmeralda, did you have posters at home?
I did. I had a bunch of Beatles posters.
Oh, that's cool.
I was very obsessed with the Beatles.
Amongst all of us, you become the coolest.
Thank you.
I shared a room with my mom, so I couldn't. I'm sorry, Senator.
I had Elvis posters.
You didn't say that.
Well, I know.
Let's
look
at this real list.
Beatles still cooler.
This isn't like a Trump administration. I actually answered the question.
He answered the question.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
For deviating.
This is fake news. It's all fake.
Elvis influenced the Beatles, Esmeralda, and the Beatles influenced Alice Cooper. So this has all come to fruition here once again.
I'm not going to tell anybody what I have.
What'd you have?
In my locker, I had
Scott Can Dale. We guess?
Tell him, Patty. No. It's okay.
Leif Garrett.
I had Bo Duke from the Dukes of Hazzard.
That explains everything.
Strike three.
I like Daisy Duke.
John Snyder. I had John Snyder, and I had Michael J. Fox. And
I could see Michael J. Fox though, because
I had such a big crush on him. One of the few fan letters I ever wrote in my entire life. I've written one to Michael J. Fox and one to Senes Van Gulli.
Has he written it back to me? Neither.
Senes Van Gulli wrote back to me. Michael J. Fox has still not written back.
You and Sven Gulli ever go out? Or
he came in studio. I had him on the show.
Did you tell him about the letter?
I did, and he sent me a new picture.
Rich Cause?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear he's a great guy.
He's incredible. Uh-huh. Such a great guy. And he still does the Son of Sven Gulli. It's so much fun. Yeah. We watch The Bride of Dracula. Yes.
Oh, nice. Well, I went to the morning show on WPW RTL 50, and I was more excited about the Son of Sven Gulli set than anything. Oh, my God, the Son of Sven Gulli set. And they had the the rubber chicken and everything.
Yeah, they have the whole thing. You know what you need to see? Go to WGN TV Studios. Have you been in there? And the Bozo? The whole set is still there. The buckets, the hole where the audience sat. Oh, the whole thing is all still there. Yes, Tom?
I have been to the WGN TV studios, did a quick little tour, and I saw that room. It is horrifying. It is horrifying.
It's not horrifying.
Oh, my God. Yes, it is.
Why?
There are buckets strewn about the place. Who knows what's been in them?
How long ago did you go? It was lovely.
Less than a year.
Oh, maybe.
It was like all the lights were off and you didn't know if like someone was going to come out or...
Oh, because it's very like circus-like.
Yeah.
So it's...
I have a thing with circuses. Oh, so like...
So it's not... It's horrifying for you.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't get the trauma associated with circuses. Like...
And clowns.
I get that a little bit. That's a little weird, but I don't get like the whole fear there. But when I was on... Bozo Circus.
What?
I went there and I was kids in my class, right? I was one of the kids picked to be in musical chairs.
No. Yes. How'd you do?
I was the first one out. And the girl that I disliked the most got in front of me. She's sitting in the chair, and I was this close from like reaching over and well, doing something that would have got me in big trouble,
especially on camera.
But
your political career would have been dead from the beginning.
Yes, they would have kept that tape.
They would have found that.
They asked the question. They said, "Well, what's your name?" Like right, like what's your name? And Fraser Thomas was there, right?
Yeah.
And it was the microphone. I was, Danny, and I was like right in front of there. And my mom and dad, I was like, "You were like right next to the microphone." And we could really hear your voice.
I'm yelling.
Like, thank you.
I want to make sure.
And I had my blue and white checkered suit that my Aunt Mo had given me.
Oh, do you have pictures of this?
No, I don't.
I bet you it's somewhere in the archives.
I would hope so.
We're going to go find that right now. Let's take a quick break and more after this on 720 WGN. Listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me, as he does every Thursday night, is State Senator Dan Katowski, Kevin Naughton, one of our favorite guests on the show, Paul Farvar, who we generally hear on Mondays, but he's got a show out at Riddles with Jeannie Dugan this weekend.
Yes, Friday, Saturday.
Where can people get tickets for that?
I think they can get them on the Riddles website, which is my Riddles page or something.
You're prepared. Okay, so moving on to our next guest.
Well, we'll give away two tickets for people if they can name any video that Stephanie Seymour has been in. How's that?
312-981.
That's not a Guns N' Roses.
My favorite time of the year. I have several of them. One of them we just mentioned off the air, which is the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb coming up on March 5th. But this month is Sketchfest, and it's the greatest event, I think, in Chicago. It is the coolest thing. There's over 180 performers performing 160 shows over 2 weeks. I'm sure I have the math wrong on that, but no one's going to check me on it, right?
It sounded Vicky, good.
Didn't it, though? I said it like I meant it. Kelly and Vicky join us, and they are party cops.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
This is one of the best shows. Are you guys in the cab this year?
We are in the pro.
Yeah. Are you in the pro
gigantic
cab?
I know.
Congratulations.
Space.
That's
Thank
wonderful.
You.
That it is a great show, and they make sure that you guys are well, – tell people what you make sure people are doing.
Oh, we're here to make sure you guys are here to party and like party like we're serious partiers, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like we came into this studio and we're like, these people are sitting down. They're just not partying hard enough, right? And then lift up your drinks, guys. Yeah, party it up.
But when you're partying, like we also want to make sure you're hydrated. You know what I mean? So like you don't want to like pass out early, right? So you got to party, but you got to hydrate. Also, maybe a little bit of food.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, have a snack.
That's why I have donuts.
Oh, see? Yeah. You know the way to a party cop's heart.
Well, do you party donuts with your audience as well?
Yeah, we do bucket checks. We'll find you if you're not like pizzazzed enough, you know, like your outfits count too.
Yeah, yeah. Don't wear too many neutral colors.
Yeah, well,
that really
that's a major
me.
Violation.
Yeah, totally. Oh no. You need to spice it up with
Sorry,
some party
guys.
Beads.
Yeah, how's Paul doing with his party colors?
You know what? I'm going to accept it because what he's doing is he's rocking a t-shirt with a long sleeve. So it's like, hey, man, maybe the weather's not ideal for a short sleeve shirt, but like
layering.
I'm going to bring the party with the layers.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, I had a knit on top of this before, but we partied too hard with those sprinkled donuts before. So.
Oh, wait a minute. You guys got sprinkled donuts?
Yes,
sir,
I know.
There's
the
not even glaze
you
on this.
You got the bottom of the bag.
Wait, hold on. Down.
Tom's going to bring you a little bit of the last two bites of the donuts because you already had your cheesesteak sandwich.
Here. I mean, we had party donuts?
We had party donuts.
Those are the sprinkles are
the
ones
with
the party in
donuts.
It.
I promise next time you come back, I will have party donuts for you guys. I will not violate this.
That's all right. You know what? You came prepared.
I did. I came.
You gave us donuts, and we can't seem to get enough of them.
Yeah, we've written like 5 scenes that include donuts.
Do you really?
Yeah, and we just didn't mean it, but that's what happened.
We got to go to this show, Senator. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, you
Basically,
do.
Basically, you'll get food and beer.
Yes. Yeah, we do. We make sure to take care of our audience.
Well, you know what we need to do? We need to get Front Room Donuts to sponsor Party Cops.
Oh,
I see a tie in here.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
This is what I'm saying. They go on tour.
That would be amazing.
The party cops bust in.
We'll be roadies.
Well, we're still going to be in the Donut Anonymous thing for a couple months.
It's going to be a while.
Okay.
We had a couple problems.
Is that a club? Are you working on it?
Well, it's working on us. It's working. It worked us over.
It's just Paul and the senator at this point right now. Kevin's he's
seriously
keeping
crashing right now.
I'm still partying.
Yeah.
I'm still having a good time.
Yeah,
so.
He had the donuts
yeah,
after us.
How you party,
not didn't have too much.
No,
I took a couple bites.
You know what? I'm gonna craft my buzz. Okay? Yeah.
He knows how to do it. Like we freaked out. We took like 8 donuts all at
sure,
once.
Sure, you allowed the buzz to craft you.
It was too much.
We out partied ourselves.
I flew too close to the sun.
Yes, we did.
Okay, Icarus. Did we decide it was Icarus?
It all comes back to Icarus.
It comes back to Icarus. I was trying to remember the one that pushes the rock up the hill, and it wasn't Icarus.
Oh,
Sisyphus. You did not know there was going to be a mythology test. Party cops do not appreciate
the
mythology.
I used to read that in my spare time when I was a kid. I was like, I love mythology. Nobody really celebrates the Greek gods anymore, but I was all about it.
I was more of a Mark Twain girl.
You're a Mark Twain girl?
Yeah, man. When I was little, I had the chicken pox, and so my mom read to me Huckleberry Finn.
Awesome.
And I was like, I don't know why she picked that book, but it was
all words included? She didn't edit at all?
I don't remember if she edited.
Okay, just
but I just remember I wanted to hop on a skiff and go away. Like, I was like, Mom, I just want to go on a skiff.
You guys didn't live
go
near
down
the
river.
You didn't live near the Chicago River, did you?
No.
But we did.
I was really man, yeah. Skiffs are cool. Yeah. I want to go down a river on one. But I also fell in love with Mark Twain, so
I could see see a little Kelly like tying some logs together, making a skiff.
Yeah.
I could see you getting some twine together.
Dental floss.
Now, do you guys at Party Cup, do you give out tickets to the crowd? Like if they're violated, you say you
Yeah, I hand out violations. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. That's pretty much how it opens.
Oh, sweet.
We just got to keep our audience in line.
Absolutely. And if guys show up in a flannel shirt,
by the way, he's going through our grunge crisis.
Is it buttoned all the way?
Buttoned.
I'm going to wear my other outfit.
Pretty much.
That I had.
Oh,
yeah. Wait.
We're having a fashion show.
Changing back to my party outfit.
Oh man, I don't know. That looks like a sweater.
It's a knit. This is just functional.
It's a knit.
Wow. It was just cold. It was
just being Al from Home Improvement.
I don't know, guys.
I feel like I'm Mr. Rogers. I got to change my
shoes. Oh no, your neck.
I have party shoes on.
He does have party shoes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, he does.
Those
are
some
fantastic.
Solid red party shoes. And I'm going to, you know what? I was going to violate you for having this knit on.
You were going to get violated.
Yeah, because, I mean, essentially it's like grandpa sweater on top.
But I have to, like, this is to make me look younger. So the cool people will give me free donuts.
Man, this show covers an awful lot of parameters, Patty.
Oh, it's all over the map.
Wow. My old man came home when I was little. I had the chicken pox. He told me to snap out of it.
Did you have to walk it off, too?
Yeah. A little dirt on it. You'll be fine.
Put some dirt on it, yeah.
You know what I just realized, Kevin? In the entire time I've known you, because I was going to ask the ladies about the party cops about Tom's baseball hat. Now, as a baseball hat, is there an age limit? And as long as it's facing forward, that's okay. Backwards hat is annoying.
Yeah, I'm going to give you the facing forward. That's all right.
Yeah.
I have no qualms
and
with that.
And it's
got to
be curved over, too, right? If
it's
flat, then
definitely.
You can't do that unless you're
you have to be
drafted.
Like a preteen.
Like a Bieber fan.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, I like to wear the baseball caps. I really want to go for the old man feeding pigeons in the park aesthetic.
That's really good.
He does. He has a sweater over a collared shirt.
You need a fedora.
No, you need the old Irish man hat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The cabbie, the wool cabbie.
What is that? Is that what that's called?
Like a chappy cap.
It's an Irish walking hat.
Yeah.
Someone, a newsie.
Give him a shillelagh. What are you doing?
You walk to the park.
Got
you
my
feed
day old
pigeons.
Bread with me, just in case the birds come.
Otherwise, I have to eat it myself.
Oh, he's a sad Irishman feeding the pigeons.
What occurred to me though, as I was looking at Tom and then you, Kevin, I've never seen you in the entire time I've known you, almost half my life, with a baseball hat on.
Well, I got tired of it after I played all the way through college, so I was done with it.
You never, I've never, because you have a nice head of hair.
Thanks,
babe.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah. I'm getting out of here.
I'm sorry.
We'll see you.
You are
here.
He's going to button up his shirt
the
and go home.
Down.
I mean, he's rocking the it's sort of, it's like a fade on the side.
It's nice.
I don't know what
Kelly,
you call
Kelly's
that.
Trying to.
He looks like Kaneki in Greece.
Sure.
Another Greece reference.
I like it.
That's two Greece references.
The bald-headed guy over here just tried to cut me up.
I didn't try. I did.
Hey, look, I feel like I could put a cup on his head and
it would
stay. It
would.
It's really even.
It's so even.
Yeah.
It's like flat top.
It almost looks a little stiff, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it looks good. Yeah.
Little Stiff. That was my gangland name, Little Stiff.
Little Stiff.
Hey, man. Yo, Little Stiff right here. Little Stiff eating donuts in the studio.
So have you guys ever, because you do a lot of audience interaction, have you ever gotten anyone who's upset with you with anything you've done ever? Or you...
You mean other than right now? Okay, I just want to check.
Not with Party Cops, but with Off Broadway, I play a character called Andy Drogenous.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a fantastic.
So like Andy, like he, anybody is like a gender doesn't apply to any. Like he doesn't think. You know, so he'll, I'll call guys like, "Hey, lady," you know, and like some guys are like, "I'm a man." I'm like, I understand that. And like, they get really offended. I'm like, "Hey, all right, lady," you know, and they
don't get it. They don't get their part of the show, but now they're becoming more part of the show because they're getting angry.
Because
I was there last year and you had a rowdy crowd one night when I was there, and I was going to leap on somebody and take them down. It was because they had a late night show and there was some rowdiness.
It happens with the Broads. We get some rowdy patrons, but that's all right. We know how to handle that.
And have
you guys are good at it.
So good. Did you now? Off Broadway was last weekend.
Yeah. We had our show. We were last Saturday at 10 o'clock. We had a great show. We were in the cab, and I was like, "Woo!" I love being in that little space because it's a nice little cabaret setting and perfect for the show that we put on. So.
Yeah, because it's a burlesque comedy show, and I'm so excited that you guys are in the pro for Party Cops, which is going to be on what day?
It's tomorrow night at 11.
Tomorrow night at 11.
So at a party time.
Yeah, party central time.
Take your naps early in the day.
Yeah, no kidding. Paul, you going to be able to take a nap before Party
I
Cops?
Have my show tomorrow, but I'll come by after with some donuts for you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
So we're hanging out with Kelly. We're hanging out with Kelly and Vicky from I can't say it. Can you tell them?
You're prepared.
I know. Vicky and Kelly from Party Cops. They're performing at Sketchfest tomorrow night in the Pro Theater at 11 o'clock, party time.
Yeah.
More with them and our other guests, these guys over here hanging out in their not officially party clothes.
I've been texting Dylan this whole time.
Bring me more donuts.
Where are you?
You had to break off one of those plain donuts for Tom because I stole all of his glazed ones. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And comedian Kevin Naughton, who is appearing at Zany's all month long over there on Wells, go to zanies.com, is admiring the music stylings and choices of our producer.
Yeah, one time I was hanging outside of Wrigley Field after a game, and I had a couple in me, and there was a homeless band playing for money. And so I slipped them a fin, and the guy got impressed with that. And I said, "Hey, I've heard you play Pick Up the Pieces before." And he stopped what they were doing. He said, "Hold on, fellas, hold on. One, two, three," and they started playing Pick Up the Pieces.
Wow.
Yeah, I started dancing.
And now everyone's wondering, Paul, are you wondering what a fin is?
That's $5.
Excellent. Sawbuck?
Which will buy you 3 donuts. shop.
At the front room.
At the front room.
At your front room.
Front room?
Well, yeah.
Okay, can you guys tell me where the front room is?
It is
Bridgeport.
Bridgeport.
I thought it was
streets?
Right next to the front
can
door.
Give me streets?
Well, he sells his donuts in other locations, including Pilsen.
Oh, you didn't even
because we need
mobile.
A couple donuts for our show tomorrow. Yeah. So if I can go there,
where do you live?
Yeah.
You're going to get everyone addicted to your show because they're just going to be like, they're going to come. You guys only had the plane. Wait till you have
it's actually really good. I was kind of bummed out. I was like, there's nothing on it, but my God, it's
there's something in it.
These are not touched.
Give her some of
them.
Have the sprinkle. You want to see where we were about an hour ago?
Sure.
You'll be like, "Why are these guys so depressed right now?"
Tom, you may think this happens all the time. And Esmeralda will attest to this. I don't think ever, and you've been here since the beginning of the show, have we ever had food in studio that we could not stop talking about through the rest of the show?
No.
Only one other place, and that would be Knife and Tyne. I think those are the only two places where like we just can't get over how good this is. And we love all of our guests who come in studio. We're always grateful.
But we prefer
donuts. There was like a burger that we had at Knife and Tyne that was...
With caramelized onions.
Yes, it was that one.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. But
why was I not invited?
You will
time?
Be invited. I'll make sure that there's food for you.
How come there's no food on Mondays? I want to come on Thursdays.
So sad.
Monday we got music.
What's the movie with Bradley
That's
Cooper?
That's why. Go ahead.
He's taking the medication.
Limitless.
Focus more. Limitless. Exactly.
Yes, yeah.
This is like
the opposite.
The opposite.
There's a reason.
The front room donuts.
There's a reason we don't have music on Music Mondays. I had ordered pizza. I was really I had food on Mondays. I was really hungry one night, and I didn't have time to order more pizzas or money. I was ordering my own, somebody put the pizza down here, and the band came in, and everybody ate all the food, and I didn't get to eat for the rest of the night. So I will try to get back to feeding the bands as well.
And that'll be nice.
So that's why. Yeah.
It happens one time, and everybody has to pay.
I felt bad. Well, because it's hard to feed a whole band, and then sometimes I don't quite know how many people I have to. I don't want anyone. And I didn't stop them.
We'll know in advance.
Was it a big band?
It was a big band, but not only that, but like one guy like took like three slices, and I shamed him on the air, and I didn't.
That's good.
Well, you should.
Sometimes you should shame. I mean,
I wish party cops. You know, like you gotta pace yourself.
That's a huge violation.
That is a foul, isn't it?
Yeah, major violation. You know what I mean? Like everyone here needs like food to party with, right?
Yeah, you do something so, like that, you got to order a pizza for the rest of the party. Like you
totally.
Got to replace
that. You got to step up.
Mm-hmm. And you saw how I ripped the donut out of our producer Tom's mouth just to make sure that you guys had some.
And I appreciated that party move, Patty. Thank you.
Very strong.
I'm a hostess with the mostest.
Patty, do you remember one of the benefits of being a stand-up was we would go around all over the country and they would give us sometimes they'd give us a free dinner every night, or they would they had the other little perks that we would get, free drinks, and they would keep this going for years. And all of a sudden, this is now he has passed on since, but my buddy John Fox
ruined it for everybody.
He ruined everything for everybody, everyone. Everywhere he could. I'd go to Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, to do hilarities, and I get there and say, "Well, we used to have a free dinner, but John Fox was just here." And
true story. And I can't go into any details, but it's very hard for me to eat mayonnaise to this day.
Yes, I understand that very much. I purposely stayed away from the mayonnaise jar just because there was so many other violations the man had committed.
This is a party foul, not telling
you. That's the thing. It's like I can't go into any details, but I'm just
going to my happy place and I'm thinking about donuts.
I know.
I think Patty went into enough detail for all of us.
John Fox was an incredibly talented comedian who had his own demons. I actually saw him. I visited him when he was in hospice in California.
Is that right?
And he goes, he had this voice. He'd always talk like this. He had like a really raspy voice. He goes, "What are you doing out here, kid?" And I said, I was in L.A. trying to take off my career. And I said, I'm swinging for the fences. And he just looked at me and goes, "I always did." And I was like, "Yeah, he did a lot, John."
Oh, yes, he did.
He was banned from a lot of clubs across the country.
Yes, was he a funny guy?
Very funny.
Great
very
character. Funny? Mm-hmm. Great character. One of the best characters ever. Rumor had it that he was one of Rodney Dangerfield's guys.
Yeah, remember those young comedian specials? Yeah,
Always on those. Oh, and the rumor had it that Lorne Michaels from Saturday Night Live was coming down to scout some talent at one point, and he was looking for the next big guy. I guess he was looking for the next Belushi style. Talent, and I from what I understood, from what I heard, he had gone to Second City to scout. He was going to scout two guys. He was going to go down to Second City and go to Zanies. He was going to go to Second City to scout Chris Farley, and he was going to come over to Zanies and scout John Fox. Apparently, he went over and scouted Chris Farley, and he was done scouting.
Yeah.
Wow. That was it.
You know, so some of the
John had several sitcom deals. One of which was a show that was going to co-star Raquel Welch. They had a half hour comedy deal.
There's another one.
There's you had that poster?
I didn't have that poster. No, I didn't have that poster.
I had a Sally Field poster.
Stop it.
Flying Nun,
Party Cops, Vicky and Kelly. Did you guys ever have posters in your rooms? Were there any guys or bands or sports?
I had
Mark Twain.
That would have been amazing.
Man, what a babe.
The Bug.
I had a giant Blues Brothers poster.
Oh, nice.
That's
See, that's also cool.
That makes you cool.
Yeah, you and Esmeralda are the coolest ones with posters.
Oh,
that's
gosh. I had a New Kids poster. Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh. And
you can go sit
party
next to
foul.
The
foul.
Well, thank you for playing our game.
There was a great story.
You know what? Honesty. There's a strength in honesty.
It's true. I wouldn't lie about this.
Wait.
Has a story that's going to justify it.
Stop.
Esmeralda's.
I had a Beatles and New Kids.
Okay.
See, she evened it out.
No.
So I had this New Kids poster, and when I was growing up, there was four of us in one bedroom, so we had two sets of bunk beds. And so it was above my, top bunk,
And my brother and sister, my older brother and sister, used to torment me. They would wake me up in the middle of the night, and I'd be confused. So apparently, I was like, you know, I woke up, I was half asleep, and I just yelled out, "You want me to tear this? I'll do it just fine." And I tore up my New Kids poster. Whoa. And then blamed them the next morning. And they're like, wow. "No, you were half asleep, and we just laughed at you the whole time you tore this poster up."
Do
and
you
I was
remember
like,
doing
"You guys
it?
Did it, Noah." I have
so maybe
no
they did it, and they just haven't told
no,
you.
No, they used to wake me up and be like, "Oh, you're late for school," and I would like jump in the shower, and it'd be like 11 p.m. and I'd awesome. Have my uniform on and be ready
Kelly,
to go.
Kelly and I are completely mystified by this entire story. Do you have siblings, Kelly?
I do. I'm the middle one, though.
Right? So you didn't have... But this sounds like a
no,
group of
I'm
four?
Middle of five.
Yeah. Middle of five.
Yeah.
Who
yeah.
has more siblings?
So I have five.
You have five? Paul, you have...
I just have the older brother
where
that
are you
tormented
the,
me.
The order?
Middle of five.
I'm, oh, the chart, you said that. I'm yeah. four or five.
Ah. You're still coming down. It's all right.
So. Kevin, where are you and your... How many kids?
There's four kids. I'm the oldest boy. My sister's the oldest.
This, you're, so, yeah, I contend that if you're an only child... yeah. One, I have thin skin. And two, I do. I know. You would
no.
be surprised. I go home and cry every night.
Come on. With that smirk on your face.
It's not, hey, you know what?
The smirking.
Yeah, you don't poke the sleeping lion. That's right.
Esmeralda, how many siblings?
I'm like Paul. I have one brother.
One brother. And Tom, do you have siblings?
See, yeah, I got quite a few.
See, I wish I God love my parents, but I kind of wish I had siblings.
Usually in a bigger family, you tell that story, and you're like, oh, yeah, I know what it's like to absolutely torment somebody completely.
I would have been the one tormented. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was the nice one.
Were you the nice one?
Yeah, because I have an older brother and sister and a younger brother and sister, so I have one of each, mm-hmm. and okay. they all ganged up on me.
Well, they used to say...
Because I was so nice.
They used to say, because at one point I was the only one with blonde hair. They're like, well, you were adopted.
Oh, we would tell my
brother used to
that
tell
too.
Me I was adopted.
Did they say you were adopted?
He told me I was adopted.
People love that you're adopted.
The whole adopt, oh, that stuck with the bar.
We didn't do that. We just told my brother he had a different birthday than he really did. We were like, your birthday's February 11th. He's like, no, it's July. And
you know what?
Like, to this day, still send him birthday messages on February 11th.
Oh, that's awesome.
I take it back. I'm happy to be an old child. More of this on 720 WGN. We're enjoying your music selections tonight, Tom, our producer for the evening. What song are we listening to right now?
It's called "Hanging Around" by Lou Reed. That's from his first solo album, Transformer.
Nice. There you go.
Very nice.
Very nice. And that's
good rhythm guitar.
That's Kevin Naughton enjoying the musical selections this evening. He's performing at Zany's this entire month, hosting the House MC, as we say. Yep. Go to zanys.com for more information. Comedian Paul Farvar is appearing at Riddles in...
Alsip?
I don't even know.
Riddles and Alsip.
Riddles and Alsip.
Yeah, I'm headlining with Jeannie Dugan, and we have some special guests stopping by as well.
I do love the, it looks as though she's beating you in the cartoon graphic that you have.
Yeah, Meredith Catchell, another comedian, made that for us for another time where we did shows together. So we're just going to keep doing it, I guess.
And you also co-host the podcast Singles Only with Jeannie.
Yeah, Jeannie and I have, she's my sidecar for mm-hmm. Singles Only, and you come in every time when she can't do it. It's fun. It's a podcast on iTunes about being single.
And fun, Kelly guys. And Vicky are performing Party Cops at Stage 773 this weekend. Why are you laughing?
I just think it's a great idea.
Party Cops?
Yeah. In case you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, it kind of idea for it.
We were camping, and it was like the last night. It was like, I think, Labor Day weekend. Last night of camping, and these guys came around like, all right. And they were doing like cooler checks. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, like, are we in trouble? It was a rowdy campground, so it...
Yeah, where was this rowdy campground that you were?
Where is that?
It's like an hour from Chicago. It's like you're an hour away, but you're so much farther away.
Oh, yeah. It's a whole different
it's
world.
Amazing. It's called Hideaway Lakes.
It's toward Wisconsin or towards Indiana?
It's west.
It's that wasn't even close.
Yeah.
Hideaway
yeah.
Lakes.
Yeah, it's the best. It's like you're transported to a whole new different place.
Yeah. I feel like I was in the 80s when I was there. It was my first and only time ever going.
Is it tent camping or is it cabin camping?
Tent.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. And there's some year-rounders, I think.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's people that live there.
Oh, these guys had golf carts with, like, the lights underneath.
Party lights.
No.
And, yeah.
Yeah, they're like...
It was like a whole train of them.
They gave us a six-pack because we're like, there's not enough beer here. And we're like... Did you reward us? Like, and then they gave us koozies. And was, so that's where party cops kind of came from. We're
that's
like,
great.
They busted imposed... us for not partying hard enough.
Yeah.
You know, you just described something that happened to me on the corner of 44th and Low on the south side of Chicago. No, I mean it. I was standing out there talking to a buddy of mine. This is decades ago. And we were underage. But we looked a little bit older, apparently. And this is back when it was 19 to have a beer in Chicago. So just going back to the 70s. Cops pull up. And they look at both of us, and we said hello to them, you know, innocently, because we had nothing on us. And they said, hey, you guys drinking? And we said, no, we're just out here talking. And one cop said to me, he said, grab the bag out of the back seat. So I go in the back seat of the squad car, and I grab a brown paper bag, and it's got a six-pack of beer. And he said... Make sure when you're done with that, you put the empty cans in the garbage can.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Cool. Thank you, officer. Cool.
Yikes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that actually happened.
Yeah, I often hesitate to tell stories about exchanges I had with police officers when I was in high school, as far as like, because I was a guard at North Avenue Beach, and they would confiscate booze up and down the lakefront. And then at the end of the summer, we would just have this huge party with all the booze that had been confiscated from Beach. I probably should have told that story.
Yeah, that happened to us. We went to the Renaissance Fair. Apparently you can't stand there and drink in the parking lot.
And you were it was confiscated.
And so they took like one from us, and we're like, we know you're going to have a party later. Like they purposely, and we weren't the only ones.
Also, the guy was like, yeah, they took a beer from us, and we had a cooler, and he's like, I know they don't sell beers by ones.
Right.
Like, and he wanted the rest of your beers?
Right,
yeah.
And I was like, well, they do if you didn't bring a whole six pack.
Right.
And he was like, yeah. I was like, and they just take off a beer and they drink.
Yeah. I'm not saying that they do that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They totally, he had a wagon full of them.
Right. It was Paul, like one of those gators, just
Paul,
full of them.
To the, the statute of limitations has run out as far as the...
My cop story, is that what you're trying to get to?
No, not yours. Okay. I'm saying that the cops that might have been involved in confiscating beer at North Avenue Beach.
Yeah, I think you're fine. Yeah. I don't know. I don't practice that kind of law. But...
you do entertainment law.
I do entertainment law and litigation. If you want to sue people, come talk to me. Better Call Paul is...
Is your website?
No, it's not. It should be.
Well, yeah, why don't you?
Someone has it. Someone has it.
Better Call Paul is already taken.
Some other Paul guy in Alabama took it. It's a hashtag, and you can find me at pflawgroup.com. Or come see me at Riddles. That's kind of a weird combination.
Attaboy.
No, I do have I want to talk about one thing where I had a cop experience, and that's what I was thinking. I'm like, how can I say this up?
Getting out of trouble.
Getting Clarendon Hills Police Department in trouble. But then again, I don't represent
probably
them.
Not saying Clarendon Hills would have been the first thing.
Well, that's I might have been Hinsdale because it's on the border. Okay. But we know it's not Oak Brook.
Okay.
this is a true story. We had, for one of our dances, we had all gotten rooms, underage. They gave us rooms so we can all party at this hotel after the dance or before the dance. And he rented to all of us, or he gave us all rooms, and we were all partying, and everyone had beer, and we were all underage drinking, and he called the cops on us. The owner did.
Oh my God.
To kick us out after he took all our money, like literally an hour in. But this is how
my God.
Stupid we were. Mm. So we went and took the party to another house, and we were drinking, and then we said, we got to go back there and get all our alcohol. Because there was like hundreds of dollars of alcohol, because I know because I was the one that purchased it all. Because I had my brother's ID when I was 16, which made me instantly the most popular kid in school. And I mean, I'm like, there was hundreds of dollars. So while the cops are still like going through everything and like they like were still like talking to the guy. We did like a Rambo mission, Mission Impossible, and stole all the alcohol back where they had were beginning to confiscate it. Like, I mean, we already got out. Like, they didn't arrest anyone. They, you just go home. You guys are underage. You shouldn't be drinking. We went and took it all while the cops were still there.
Wow.
This is 100% true story. And like to this day, I look back. I'm like, that was one of the stupidest things I've ever done. Like, we were already off the hook, but we were like, we spent $100. And this is like kids who like, I mean, our parents gave us money back then. I grew up in the tough streets of Oak Brook, Illinois. So, like $20 basically of what we could have just gone to the store and bought more, but we were like, no, this is unfair and just. And that's why I became a lawyer.
You guys were successful, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We took most of it back. We decided the keg was too risky.
Oh yeah. Good call.
Sure.
The keg would have been like, what are you guys doing? Yeah. Nothing. We work here. Like, if the cops saw us, like, they'd just be like, are you guys seriously this dumb?
It's hard to sneak a keg.
But we did get all the alcohol out.
I was always impressed by the people who would bring in just vast amounts of booze into the dorms at the University of Illinois. I mean, like pony kegs, party kegs. And like it would have it like in a closet. It was just craziness. Or they would fill the Gatorade, like the cooler thing, and have like I didn't drink in high school very much. Like I had like a beer. But all bets were off in college, and they made something called Everclear Fruit Punch.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know what Everclear was, Tom. I didn't know what that was, and I was sitting there with a cup. I'm like, I don't taste anything in this. Just pour it straight into my cup.
That's jungle juice.
You see, well, you see where I come from. We call that Riot Punch.
Riot Punch.
You put that in an empty
juice.
Milk carton.
Jungle juice.
Yeah. We had a name for it. It was a Moose River Hummer. That's what we called the drink. We made moose with Everclear and fruit juice of various kinds of fruit juices.
Yeah, you put it in a kiddie pool.
All kinds of stuff.
And then you just dip it. It would be like one of those $20 kiddie pools.
A
we just
kiddie
put all
pool?
The, yeah, we put all the alcohol in, and then for the parties that we had.
It's like a big punch
at
bowl.
University of Illinois.
The three of us are just staring at you guys now. I know, we used to use it. We had an actual, like, you know, the Gatorade cooler.
No, we didn't do that. But now, like, there's flavored. You can already get that flavor vodka, and it's like 100 proof. And it's like, oh, it tastes like cotton candy. And it's like, oh.
Yeah, but you don't have the pool.
Yeah, we didn't have the pool.
Sure.
Yeah, these kids have no idea. They're not drinking out of kiddie pools.
Yeah, like, we didn't have to do that.
They have no idea.
Just put it in your butt. That's what the kids are doing now, right? They put the.
Okay, hold on a second. Stop.
Butt shots.
That's what it's called. Breaks.
Easy.
Yeah, easy.
What is it called? There's a thing.
No, he's not wrong.
You're correct.
No, you are correct.
That's the way to party.
We prefer to have those conversations with doctors involved in the conversation to say how dangerous it is.
Very dangerous.
Yes.
But if you want to party fast, that's how you do it, right?
Is it anything like a coffee enema? Actually exist.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, that's a real thing.
I'm going to have to. I want
Maybe
the record to show. I want the record to show that the lawyer on the show was the one that brought up absorbing alcohol by other means.
I've never done it, but I heard about it and I thought it was a joke, but it's a true thing. It's a true thing.
Yes.
I'm surprised that you guys don't do this at the party tomorrow.
You know what?
At
here's the thing. When we...
That's like, you're like, you
now
took the party too far.
And then there's partying.
With
right?
a capital P and you spell the Y with two Ys. It's like the
Kevin,
Y.
Are you familiar with this practice of absorbing booze?
What is it called? There's a word for it. Someone's going to call it in.
No, please.
Butt chugging. That's what it is.
Butt chugging.
I didn't want to say it, but I knew it. Everyone was like, I'm
That's
so glad I'm on a cleanse.
That's not bad words. It's spelled with two T's.
That's right. I do, Nez.
I think that's just partying way too hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely a violation.
You can't prolong the party if you're doing something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would ruin the party.
You have to go wash whatever
chocolate.
I don't know what you use.
Yeah, you have to change outfit.
All I know is that my producer
burn it?
Tom just went, please take a break, 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 please take a break. He's been
Tom, have you ever partook in this activity?
More for this on 720 WGN. Little Joan Jett.
Technically, The Runaways.
Oh, Cherry Bomb? It's...
Yeah.
Okay.
Same thing.
You're listening pretty late. It is now well into Friday morning, and we are hanging out with comedian Kevin Naughton, who is appearing all month, hosting the shows at Zanies on Wells. Go to zanies.com for more information. And you have headlining Paul Morrissey.
Very funny guy.
And has appeared on Craig Ferguson, on the Dave Letterman Show, has some great, charming stories, as you were telling us. Mm-hmm. And Kevin is one of the best comics in Chicago. Paul Farvar, no slouch himself, appearing with Jeannie Dugan at the Riddles in Allsip. And he's not sure, entirely sure what the website
is. I do know what it is.
What is it?
It's myriddlescomedyclub.com.
Yourriddles.com.
That's what it's called. My. MyRiddlesComedyClub.com.
www.paulsriddles.com.
There's three W's. HTTP.com. Semicolon or colon, depending on how you feel. www.myriddlescomedyclub.com.
This is almost too much entertainment for the weekend, because also appearing, here's the thing, not only are they appearing at Sketchfest, we have Party Cops. We have Kelly and Vicky, who are performing Party Cops at the Pro Theater tomorrow night at 11. Party time.
Yep, party time.
Sketchfest is the greatest Sketchfest in the world. I mean, I haven't been to other Sketchfests in the world or outside of the country, but it is so much fun. It's so frenetic. I mean, that lobby fills up. There are crowds going into four different venues. They'll be packing yours because it is the biggest, the best.
It's insane. I work the tech booth, you know. Just about.
You gotta do my tech sometimes. Do you know how hard my tech is?
It's probably not hard at all. I do lights and sound and stuff. So this year I kind of took a little breather.
Good.
But I was out in the lobby on the first Thursday, and it was insane out there. I was like, is this how it is all the time?
It's always like that.
Yeah. I'm in a nice little home, you know, all by myself, and I just was not prepared for that. Well, first day right out of the gates.
I'm lucky enough that that Brian Posen, who's one of my heroes, lets me hang out on the catwalk upstairs on that little balcony area, so I can watch the crowds and not be amongst the crowds.
It's really cool to see from above. Like,
it is, isn't
it? Catwalk, just to see, like, all these people gathering together. They're coming to support Sea Life Comedy, live theater. Some people have never been to a sketch show before. They're just kind of like taking a chance on us.
Yes.
And that's really awesome. But then you see, and then when they let all the theaters in at the same time.
Right.
And you just see everybody just like going, and they're all happy. And there's this huge buzz, this crazy energy. It's really special.
It's an amazing machine.
It is, really. I sat in the audience as my theater was filling up at the Cab Theater for Patty Melt last Friday night. And there was this guy sitting next to me, and I was just, you know, I was watching the crowd. I used to do this at Zanies. I used to sit in the back of the room and watch the audience with other comics on stage just to see what kind of mood they were in. Mm-hmm. So this guy was sitting down waiting for his wife to come back, and I asked him what brought him to the show, and he said that he'd heard about Sketchfest, and he thought that Patty Melt sounded interesting, and I said, thank you. and he didn't realize until obviously when I got on stage, and afterwards he's like, you could have said something. I'm like, no, I didn't.
No, yeah, that's the best. No. Yeah. Like when audience members have no clue that you're a part of the show.
Yeah,
that happened. A friend of mine and I used to have a group, and we were just, you know, we had these really bizarre characters, and they used to play these videos before the Sketchfest shows, you know, and we were sitting there commenting, and this lady actually came up to us, and she's like, excuse me, you guys are being really rude. Like, can you? and we were like, you know, we just kind of like played it off, like, you know, whatever. Right. And then, you know, they introduced us. We got on stage, and she was just sitting there like, oh my gosh, I'm just going to shoot myself. Aww. Like, I'm ridiculous. I can't believe that I actually thought you were real people. Because, I mean, those characters are really wild. Yeah. You know?
Sometimes that happens. That there are stand-ups that I've worked with for many years. Dom Herrera is one of them. Who he could walk through a crowd, and nobody knew him, but before a crowd, he just fit in so beautifully.
He's
that
an
he
average
could
guy.
Next, average guy. Then he'd go up on stage and be the funniest guy you've ever heard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do not make that man angry, by the way.
Oh, I found that out.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, not me personally. I just saw him snap one time, pardon the term, New York once. It was great.
He was going off on the... He was so mad at a comic that had worked with him the night before. Do you remember the guys that were there? They were brothers. It was Josh and Scott Perlman. Do you remember the Perlmans?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let's call them Perlmans because that was their names. Okay. He disliked Josh so badly. Josh wasn't even in the room the next night. He went off on how much. Just because you're funny at a party, per se, does not make you a comedian. Yeah. It was he asked Bert to get him off the show. Wow. That's how much he disliked him. Yes.
I just did a show with him in L.A. Last month.
Yeah.
And he still got new jokes.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm like, he must have just wrote that because, like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty brilliant. Amazing. Yeah.
You guys should check him out.
He's older, too, and he's still, like, got the mind.
Easily. I was always uncomfortable when comics, there were so many comics in the 90s and the early 2000s that had material about priests because that's when those stories were really breaking and you were finding out the, mm-hmm. you know, the sort of how much they were hiding it and didn't want. And Dom was one of the only comic I could watch talk. He was like, what's wrong with me, Bree? Come on, Fado. Ain't I cute? What was wrong with me?
How come you're not talking to me here?
It was because he made it. So it wasn't like it wasn't gross. It was, yeah, I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but it was just Dom.
It was classy. Classy might not be the word.
But almost like old school comedy mm-hmm. on something that was a very fresh topic, obviously. Mm-hmm. But remember, there was a point where everyone had that material. Everyone had the woman at McDonald's with the coffee material. Mm. Everyone had liking sheep material. They were midget material. Everybody had like this whole string of stuff, and I'd just be like, I can't watch this anymore.
I mean, everything you just described, I've had happen to me in my life. You know, including getting flipped
burned
off.
By the coffee.
I did a show. I was in Fox Lake or something up in Wisconsin. And I was doing this private gig, and these golfers had just gotten done, and I'm up on stage. I had 3 minutes to go. I was doing a 45-minute closing set. I look at my watch, 42 minutes. I go, next big laugh, I'm done. I can't take it anymore. And I started talking. This is back in the day when they first started all those daytime talk shows.
Yeah.
You know, and Maury, with Maury and some of the other. And I said, it was the Springer. It was Jerry.
Jerry.
And I said, oh, come on, we're running out of topics. I said, bisexual Nazi dwarf librarians, right? And out of the back of the room, all the guys are falling off the bar stool laughing. All of a sudden, like the sea parting, here comes a midget running up to the stage, and he goes, hey, I heard that, and he flipped me off.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't top that. That was my closing bit.
Yeah,
I said,
I'm done.
Flipped off by a midget, you're done.
And then we learned, you know, make sure, because that, again, that was the 90s and the 2000s, and then it became, say, little people, or don't say that, and people will come up. It is an interesting time for comedy, because we went through this whole phase of what we could and couldn't say.
PC, yeah.
Right? And now, but... It's an interesting. Are you noticing anything different at Zany's at all as far as the material?
I'll tell you something. You bring up a good point. The day after the election, I'll even say what I said. The day after the election, I went on stage and I said, you know, I'm from Chicago. I love this town, but it doesn't matter where I go. When I'm on the road, I do stand up. I hear a gunshot or a siren, I get homesick.
Right?
And I think that's funny. But the day after the election, no. Everybody was so sensitive. Now I find that if I time it properly, I'll be just fine.
Wow. So people are more sensitive, Paul, you find?
I just feel like it's just like different. Tonight.
It's different. I think it's different.
Yeah. Well, I could tell you this. I did a show tonight and another comedian just mentioned the word Trump. And like it changed the room. Like he's like, well, I'm not even – he's not even I'm not even doing anything about politics, but it just everyone's kind of got excited, like, or not excited. I'm trying to think of a word that's sensitive.
If you go see any of our shows, everyone just relax and enjoy the performers. You'll have a good time because the comics are having a good time. And go see Party Cops at Stage 773. Go to stage773.com for ticket information. Go to Sketchfest. See all the shows. You go to see their show. Go to the show before theirs. Go to their show. Mm-hmm. Hang out.
Yeah,
come back
on
Saturday. I'll bring a sleeping bag.
Bring some donuts.
Enjoy yourselves.
Wait, what does show start at 7 tomorrow?
Tomorrow night. Shows start at 7. They're on the hour.
And there you go. Go to Stage 773 for more ticket information. Sorry, I'm late. Nick D is celebrating Friday the 13th and talking about horror icon Peter Cushing. And Nick D is coming up next. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago